Yeah. Best Show's back Tuesday night. You ready, Mike? You ready, Dudio? You ready, Pat? God. I don't know how to go on. I don't know if I like the fake enthusiasm less than the legitimate disgust I get. Hey, you gonna make fun of Vinyl tonight? No, I'm not gonna. He literally said, you gonna make fun of Vinyl? Mike was saying, no, I'm not gonna make fun of Vinyl tonight. I didn't watch it yet. And I swear, under his breath, he went, well, F you, as he walked away. I'm like, Mike, I did not need that. You gonna make fun of Vinyl? No, not going to. No! What I'm going to do is start the best show in a matter of seconds, and then I'll bring a special guest. We got Jonah Ray is going to be here in the studio. We got a fun announcement that'll be at some point during the show. Oh, what a magical night, and it begins right now. The best show. My friends, the best show is back on another Tuesday evening here in New Jersey. That's where it all goes down, people. Everything good has come out of New Jersey. Whether it's George Railroad Martin or Bruce Springsteen or AP Mike. All right, we're running out here, admittedly. And our next president, Chris Christie, who I think is going to put himself back in the race. I think he's just biding his time. I think it's canny of him. Let everyone drop out, and then it's Christie time. Here he comes, right? Bursting through the door. Oh, yeah. He's coming back. He's It's got my vote. Seriously, I'm not concerned about the 2016 election. All kidding aside, you all know I support Ted Cruz. And cannot wait until America is on cruise control. Right? That's the first thing he's going to do, is declare America is now on cruise control. I think that guy, first of all, looks cool. He always looks like he's in a panic somehow. Right? Like he's upset about something all the time. But it's like he's upset about something stupid, like a zoning issue. Like that. He's like the neighbor who looks like he'd tell you that you planted a thing and the tree's hanging over his dry, like, those berries are falling off your tree in my driveway. And that concludes the Best Show Political Talk for the year 2016. Catch you all in 2020. No, we're here for good times, family fun, and what a better way to endorse good old-fashioned family rocking and rolling good times than something by spray paint, which I did not realize. Fair amount of curses in that one. What are you going to do? Go get your money back. I got no advertisers tonight. What am I supposed to do? Show's in a free fall. Wait, are we there already? Okay. Ah, that didn't take long. No! We heard Spray Paint from their album. Clean Blood, Regular Acid. It's on Mono Fuss. And that song is called Texas Talking Powder. Spray Paint are so great. That's Texas rock at its finest. Love Spray Paint. So good live. Great records. Can't wait to hear what they got coming up next. And starting us off, David Peel. That's right. The one and only David Peel. From his album, King of Punk. Reissued by Hozak. From 1978 originally. What an amazing record. Holy moly. David Peel and Death, King of Punk. And the song we heard was called Punk Rock. Love it. The guy responsible for some of the worst Apple recordings ever. He's also responsible for one of the best rockin' albums ever. Love it. David Peel and Death. Can't sleep on Hozak, man. That's a good label. Mono Fuss is a good label. Hozak's a good label. They're all good labels. We do nothing less than play the best here. Now that you've tried the rest, try the best. Remember that? The first time you saw that on a pizza box, you laughed a little bit. Then you realized it was on every pizza box everywhere. So, tonight we have Jonah Ray is going to be in studio in a little bit. That's exciting. The topic tonight, what is it? Well, best of the worst, worst of the best. We've done it in the past. On the old Best Show, we did it. We're bringing it back. What is the best thing that a terrible person has done? And what's the worst thing a great person has done? Mike, do you get that topic? Like, I want you to think about this one. Mike's bringing up Martin Scorsese's Cape Fear remake. He's trying to get me to talk about Vinyl again. I didn't watch it yet. I can't wait, though. I've heard nothing but raves. I heard ghosts come back. Right? Is that true? That there's rock and roll ghosts in it? I heard there were ghosts, like suddenly a ghost appears, like the ghost of, you know, Herman's like Peter Noon suddenly shows up. Man, that Peter, if you got satellite radio, man, it's time we all got to rise up and say, hey, can we get rid of Peter Noon off that 60s channel, right? Really? Everybody needs. I got another story about touring with him. It's really another story. You guys were around for 2.5 years. You've told every story you could tell. We were out doing, it was me and Billy J. Kramer. And who came by but Ringo Starr? Like, you know, he's like, at this point, people are like, come on, Herm Peter, rack your brain. Did you hang out with any of the Beatles any more times? We'll just write them all down. The phone number, 201-332-3484, 201-332-3484, best of the worst of the best. Like Mike brought up Martin Scorsese, he said that Cape Fear is his worst. That's not his worst, Mike. Clearly you've never seen Shutter Island. Oh boy. That's some choppy waters, man. Shutter Island. Can you imagine? And that's the one he like makes a ton of money with. Like, oh, it's his biggest one yet. Oh God. Who's good here, Mike? Best Show. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Best Show. To whom am I speaking?
Holden again.
Who?
Holden.
Holden. Oh, it's you. I remember you. You're the Weisenheimer who called last week. Right? Bad.
I know.
You good kid or you bad kid? What's the deal, Holden?
Good. I have a friend.
Do you behave?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing you ever did? What'd you do? You play a joke, a trick? Okay. What are you on, the space shuttle or something?
No more thing like ever.
Delay? What's that?
He tied with and scored with everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Long delay, bad phone. This is great. So, Holden, you're in what grade now? You're in kindergarten, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
How was school this week? What did you do?
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff?
Yay! Math.
Now?
Something I really hate about math. One thing, one time when I hate something about math.
Okay, we got to work on this phone connection, Dad. Dad?
There's
work on the phone connection.
There's only one math thing I hate.
What is the math thing you hate, Holden?
Math books.
Math books? You hate the books about it?
No. The books where you learn math.
Yeah. The books that have all the math puzzles in them and problems in them.
Yeah, but I'm good at other ones than those.
Okay.
I probably end up... You want to know the best ones of those?
What is it?
You want to know the best ones of those?
Yeah, what is it?
The one with, well... The whale.
What?
The whale.
All right.
Press right through it.
This is...
That keeps it together.
So are you excited Girls is back? With season 5, huh? What do you think? Only one more to go after this. What do you think's gonna? Never mind. Did you watch? You don't watch. Never mind. You don't watch. What's your favorite TV show?
I have a lot of favorite TV shows.
I'll name one, Chief.
I think my last favorite one was Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man. Okay. All right, bro. I'll talk to you soon. Tighten up that phone call, Dad. Got to get the one kid to not scream in the background. Got to give Holden a chance to hear what I'm saying. Bad form, Pops. Bad form. Trying to do a show here. This is not, trying to do a show here. Come on, Pops. Tighten it up. Tighten it up. It's too much to ask you to get one kid screaming. Yeah, yeah. Now on, we got to do a sound check and a pre-interview. Unbelievable. Try to start this show off strong. Kid, I think that kid's got a father's probably doing a podcast. It's his chance. Take me out of the game. Start me off slow. Not falling for it, Pop. Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Sarah in Nashville.
Sarah in Nashville. Sarah, I know this Sarah.
Step for me to say I'm from Nashville.
This is the Sarah who is the rocker.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, yep. That's what they call me down here.
They call you Sarah the Rocker?
Yes, yes, they do. I actually think that that actually has happened in the newspaper. It was embarrassing.
What was that?
I think the local newspaper did refer to me as a local rocker.
A local rocker.
And Joseph, yeah.
And what was that about? Why would they write, why were you in the paper?
Oh, they were talking about Dukes.
Dukes, your bar.
My bar, my in, local watering hole.
In Nashville. Now,
yeah.
Now
how have you been?
I'm good. Do you think, Mike, you know AP Mike, right?
I mean, you know, yeah. We had a good chat a couple minutes ago.
Lately, he's been on a real country tear.
Okay.
And he's dressing like he's all he listens to is like Marshall Tucker Band.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And the Outlaws.
Yeah.
And Rossington Collins Band.
Yeah. You've got mixed feelings about it.
I'm just wondering, that's more of a Texas thing, right? Would he cut it down there in Nashville?
I mean, I think he could, you know, come down and, you know, do a walkabout test drive, see if anybody notices.
Like, where
would. I think it might go over pretty big.
If he needed to get some gear, like a look, he could get it. Is there like a place in Nashville that like you can go and dress like a country dude?
Oh, is there ever?
Is there? Where? What is the name of the place? The main place you'd send?
It's called Nashville.
It's called, the city of Nashville.
Yeah, the airport. If you go to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he doesn't even have to. He can just go to get a flight. It's real cheap. Just hang at the airport for 4 or 5 hours and fly back home.
Then you can. Yeah,
people will think he's somebody.
So Mike should just fly in.
Yeah.
Not even leave the airport.
Yeah.
And just exactly. He can get his duds at the airport.
Yep, they got everything. He could probably buy a guitar there and play a set at the Tennessee Spirits Tavern,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it's called.
I was actually at
Gibson Cafe.
Really? So he could hang out. I was actually at the Nashville airport because this country singer who was like burned in an accident was like coming back home to Nashville. And then like she had a big thing at the airport where she came off the plane and then she fainted.
Ooh.
And then Ned Beatty was all. What? No, it's the.
I didn't mean to laugh.
I'm talking about the movie Nashville. I'm talking about the movie Nashville takes
place
at the Nashville Airport.
The movie
airport.
Nashville.
And then Jeff Goldblum rolled in like a chopper. You ever see that movie?
Amazing.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I've seen it. I know I'm not presenting like I've seen it, but yes, I have seen it several times.
Are they? Do they? Would people in Nashville hate that movie? Like actual, like full on, not people who've popped in as adults like you have.
Honestly, that's a good question. I have no idea, but I will find out and I can report back to you on that some other time.
I want you to find out what the locals think of that.
Yeah, I will. Because
Nashville has all these cool new people in it now, right?
Yeah, some new people, some cool new people.
Whether you're
old people.
You're talking about a Sarah or a Joey Plunkett.
Oh, yeah. He's been here for 5 years. It's not like, you know, in New York, you have to live there for, like, mm-hmm. 15 years to be considered a local. I think I don't know. People in Nashville might not agree. I feel like it takes, like, let me put it this way. I got called a local rocker. I still haven't moved my stuff out of Brooklyn. So.
All right. Well, you got to keep one foot here still.
Yeah.
Look, nobody's mistaking you for a Nashville, for being born in Nashville.
No, definitely not.
No.
I got called New York nice and Nashville rude by somebody at work the other day.
Say that again.
Someone at work called me New York nice, but Nashville rude.
New York.
That's hilarious.
You and Mike have another thing in common.
We're rude.
No, you're not rude. Neither of you are rude. But you both work. You're both behind that bar.
Yep. Sometimes.
You clean the taps? You clean the thing?
Oh no, I got a guy for that. I have no idea how to do that.
Okay. Mike, do you clean them? Mike says he has a guy also.
Yeah, you got a guy. You're obviously not in the industry. We all got guys.
All right. It's fine. So when is this Duke's, your cool bar in Nashville? When is the anniversary of Duke's?
We're having a big anniversary thing. It's on April 22nd, but I decided to stress myself out and do a whole month of really fun stuff. And that's, I was telling Mike on the phone, I heard that you don't have an advertiser for tonight, and I was like, I should take out an ad with you for my big anniversary party.
Well, you're doing it right now. It's free of charge, Sarah. Free of charge.
No, we want to support.
No, it's free. This is free. Don't worry. We're not going to negotiate on the air. Where do people find out about Duke's?
I don't know. I guess here on my Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
It's Duke's Nashville. I think that's it.
All right.
So I wanted to get you down here, or Terry down here, to DJ.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
I know. I heard you talking about going on that cruise a couple weeks ago. So this will be a piece of cake compared to the cruise.
Right, over the bruise cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah, where? The fun thing on the bruise cruise was watching when it would dock at the one place. And then, where was that? Like, I don't know where that was. But then, there was a show with, Senior Frogs. And then you'd see, all these rock people. It'd be like, imagine a show at, a Chi-Chi's. Remember Chi-Chi's?
Sounds familiar.
It was like a...
Remind me.
Mexican chain, Chi-Chi's.
Yeah.
Imagine if they played a show at one of those. That's what
I'm imagining it right now.
Yeah, it was bonkers. I had a great time on that bruise cruise, but we'll see about coming down. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, do it.
We'll see.
I got Greg Cartwright's going to do a night. Horizontal Action, who you love, is Todd's going to do a night. The Third Man guys are going to do a night. I got Paul Bearer from Sheer Terror doing a night.
All right. Get AP Mike down. He'll play the Live Outlaws album.
Yeah, I'll meet him at the airport. Get him some
duds,
some Western gear.
Yeah, his lasso. He'll be doing
lasso
tricks, right?
I love it.
All right, Sarah. People should check out Duke's if you're in Nashville. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
And Sarah's New York. Sarah's Nashville nice. You're not even Nashville rude. Who would say that? They're Nashville rude. Whoever would say that.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Who would say that?
Yeah,
to somebody?
They are.
Thank you.
No, I'm not naming names because I'm not rude.
You're not. No. That shows even more that you're not Nashville rude. You didn't name names.
Yeah, I'm telling everybody about the cool hangouts at the airport.
Yeah, see?
Just trying to be an ambassador.
You're actually New York. You actually seem like you're from Nashville now in New York. You're so nice. Like, that's how nice you're being. You don't seem like, you seem like a tourist, a Nashville tourist. In New York.
I do sometimes. Yeah. It's terrifying. I'm like, it's very confusing.
All right. I'm gonna boogie, but you everybody check out Duke.
Boogie, boogie.
Awesome. Have a great night.
Thanks.
Bye. Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Sean calling from Northfield, Minnesota.
Sean from Northfield, Minnesota. What's up in Northfield, Minnesota tonight?
What is up? Well, it's actually it's kind of warmer than normal. That's
okay.
One thing. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I was calling about the topic.
Best of the worst, worst of the best. What do you got, Chief?
But you know, I've been racking my brain all day how this fits in, because it's actually it's about Mike Love.
Yeah, Mike Love.
And about that new that article in Rolling Stone.
I read that today. I read that today.
Oh, you did?
It's an article on Mike Love. So for people who don't know, Mike Love is this dude from the Beach Boys who you ever hear the Beach Boys? They all sing. They sing like angels, right? Except this one dude sings like a car horn, right?
Yeah.
It's like the other guys have the perfect voices, and then this other dude just sings. And now he's like taking credit. He's like mad that he doesn't get credit for writing the songs. Guy wrote the worst lyrics in the history of music. If anything, he should be denying he wrote those lyrics. He should be pinning it all on Brian Wilson.
Yeah, or Murray. Or Murray.
Murray. He's saying, yeah, I wrote the lyrics to 409, which is like, they consist of, she's so fine, my 409, she's so, it's like, if that songwriting, man, if that dude's rich off that and I can't get two nickels off of Come On Y'all, It's Time to Have Fun, which Google straight up ripped me off on. Right? Did you
exactly.
follow that out?
Yeah.
Did you get that out in Northfield? Did you get the news
I
on
got,
that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We heard all about it.
So what's going on? Is that what's his name? Keebler Country? Garrison Keebler.
Keebler's down here. I actually worked with Garrison Keebler.
Where? Doing what?
At the place I worked at.
Porn shop?
He came and he did a Friday, yep, at the... At the old time pawn shop. Garrison Pawn.
I just want to tell everybody about there's an adult bookstore out on Route 48 that I'm a secret owner of. And I get first dibs on all the latest fun packs. And the other day, Old Man Abernathy was opening a fun pack in the back room of my porn palace, and I was busy stuffing new porn packs. New fun packs in the back of my porn shop that I own, and I get a special thrill out of putting car traders in the middle, and I go to the pizzeria and grab a stack of Auto Trader magazines, which are free, and I get a special thrill out of putting them in the middle of the fun pack as Old Man Abernathy's working the shrink wrapping machine and it seals them shut. I know that a bunch of perverts out in Northfield and Lake Wobegon are about to get very ripped off. And that's how I get my jollies these days. Ripping
it's
off.
It's a hobby.
Efforts.
All right. So you worked with him.
Yeah.
What was the, in what capacity?
Well, he came and did a show. He did the Prairie Home Companion show where I work.
Oh, God.
And, I work in a part of the country where every single person that I meet has a Bob Dylan story or a Garrison Keillor story.
Yeah. What if they met, right? What about that meeting?
Yeah, I think Bob would take his harmonica back.
Yeah.
I think that's what would happen.
Garrison Keillor, the old man. He'll write that song. Too bad, about Garrison Keillor beating some dude at his porn shop.
Right. And it would be 14 minutes long.
Yeah. It'll be the lonesome death of Hattie Carroll, right? And the ladder of justice has no top or no bottom. And the Lake Woebegone jury found Garrison Keillor not guilty of all charges. And he left and went back to the porn shop he owns on Route 48. And he stuffed some car traders inside some new fun packs. And you, who philosophers feel. Remember that?
Philosopher. But he's a quiet man.
All right, now you're adding to it. I didn't ask for that. Goodbye. I couldn't have done anything better. I still blasted him off the phone. Best show.
Oh, Tom. I'm in Northfield again. What are you
still here. Okay, goodbye. Sorry, bro. Yeah, that was a double hang-up. Rare. Guy survived for a second. Had to blast him a second time. We'll bring Jonah Ray in a minute. Let's take one more call. Best show.
Hey,
who's this?
It's Nick from Michigan.
Okay, you're saying it like I should A, know who you are, and B, be scared of you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, you sound like a hitman.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Degruff it, bro.
Okay, have you heard about the Lieutenant Dan band?
That's the band that what's-his-face has.
The guy from, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, but what's his name?
I don't
Gary
know.
Sinise.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure he plays the bass in it.
Could you imagine? It's like, wouldn't you see any band where the person's primary thing was being in a band first over, like, the person who's, like, known for another thing and then does music on the side?
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And that's another thing, like, there are no cool celebrities who play the bass.
Well, Huckabee.
Oh, he's Huckabee, I don't know.
You know what he played on, but no joke. Do you know what he played on that his best known thing is on bass?
No.
Mike Huckabee?
No.
The Seinfeld theme.
That's awesome.
That's him.
He composed the Seinfeld theme.
Well, he didn't compose it. That's insane. He was a session man that day. That's Huckabee.
Oh, Huckabee. I'm upset Jeb dropped out of the race.
Eh, he's cool. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Can't keep a good man down. Right?
Nope.
Can't keep a good man down.
Jeb! Exclamation point.
Yeah. Can't keep All a right. good man down. Look, I'm not doing political talk. There's enough places where you can get that.
That's true.
Because I got to say, though, this Trump, right? This isn't funny anymore. It's not funny anymore.
Except like, that it is.
I mean, at first it was like a joke that this clown was doing this. It's not funny anymore. This is real, and it's getting scary. It's not funny anymore. It's a sideshow. He's the sideshow. He's like a clown, but now he's going to be president. It's not funny anymore. Was it ever? We got to do something. It's not funny anymore.
But it totally is, because he's hilarious.
No, it's funny in the way that if you're rooting for the end of the world, it's kind of funny, the way I am, which I am, actually. I've had enough. I've seen pretty much, not that I've seen everything, but I've seen enough stuff that it's like, all right, yeah, let's pull the plug on this thing.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
But I have another comment.
What?
Dave, you might seems like the kind of gentleman who would sell products underage to children.
No, he does not at all. No, that's terrible. He wouldn't do that.
Oh, that's the impression I got talking to him.
You got the wrong impression, buddy.
All right.
Just like you're no Dickie Barnett, bro. That's not the impression you get that he got. Remember that?
It's the impression that I get.
That's one of his songs, bro.
I'm glad Ska's over.
You ever hear that song?
I have.
Did you ever have a thing? Oh, man.
I bet fucking B's a big Ska fan.
Get off my phone, you rat. You toilet mouth rat. I'll tell you, man. It's a low-class group of callers out there tonight. What a low-class group of rummies. Hey, Mike. Is Jonah Ray out there? Mike, first of all, tell him, give him the rules before he comes in. No cursing. This is not a podcast. Just lay the rules down for him. Let me hear you lay them down, Mike. Okay. It's a live show. It's not great. Well, this is going to go well. That's it. Open the door for him now, Mike. Open the door. Show him in. Show him which chair he should go in. That one. Hey, Mike, can you do me a solid? You see that studio thing there? Can you post that back up to the board? Studio was kind of raging out in here and knocked the bulletin board off the wall the other day. He flipped out. And that was a casualty. Thanks, Mike. Let me pop this up here. Let's do a level check.
Check, 1, 2.
Oh, you know how to talk into a microphone.
California podcast. West Coast podcasting affiliates.
Initiated. Yes. Because it's podcast law. First of all, let me welcome to the best show, my friend. Why is that already you're laughing at that?
Because the way you stared at me, no one saw the eyes piercing through my skull.
My friend, Jonah Ray. Welcome to the best show.
Thank you so much, Tom.
It's so great to have you here.
I'm very, very excited and frightened to be here.
Don't be frightened.
You're a very intimidating man.
Well, you shouldn't be intimidated. I'm telling you not to be. So just relax. You wouldn't be here if I didn't want you to be here.
That's a good point. Anytime anyone's nice to me, I just assume they're doing it because they feel sorry for me.
Yeah. Well, at this point, nobody should feel sorry for you. You've got everything going your way over the last couple of years. You're hot.
Tell that to my doctor.
You're hot. You tell your doctor. Wait.
Not everything's going my way.
Oh, no. Well, at least, if that's true, at least it will be filmed. You're inevitable that because you're being filmed a whole lot now. So whatever goes wrong, there will be a camera on you when it happens.
Yeah, sure.
So that'll be good for entertainment
purposes. At least periscoped.
At least periscoped. Do you periscope?
Every once in a while. Sometimes I'll do, if I'm kind of bored and I'm just doing work on the computer, mm-hmm. I'll turn on Periscope. I'll just put it on something that's just in my office. Uh-huh. And then I'll just say, hey, I'm playing songs from bands I really like right now. And then it's just kind of an impromptu.
Okay.
Check out this music.
Sure. I watch Periscope videos.
Yeah. Voyeuristic.
Well, or participating in Periscope, I like to call it. But I would go on. This is what I did in the entire build-up to Star Wars. I probably did this 100 times, literally 100 times. I would go on to Periscope, look for someone who would look like they'd be in Star Wars. I'd say, you pumped for Star Wars? And then they would be like, because then Periscope, for people who don't know, Periscope is basically like a live feed where you can text at the people and they can read what you're writing and talk back to you. Mm-hmm. So you're watching them say it back. So I would say, you pumped for Star Wars? And then they'd say, yeah. And then I'd say, I saw it. And it was like at least 3 weeks before it came out. I'd say, I saw it. And then they'd be like, no, how'd you see it? They press screening. And then they'd fall. They would say, oh, okay. And they'd say, how is it? Don't spoil anything. And then I would say, every time I'd say, it was dope as F. I would say, literally write dope as F.
As F or AF?
No, the word F.
No, but it's the millennial speak is dope AF.
But I just wrote dope as, I didn't do AF.
Sure.
So And then they would say, no spoilers. And then I would write back at them, R2-D2 died. And then they would flip out. And then I would log out of it. And I did that literally 100 times.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
I love that. I was shortly after the movie came out, I was on the At Midnight program.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one of the hashtag games of some sort was...
Oh, they do games on that?
They show? Sure do. They sure do. They sure do games.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So anyway, I was on Corden, and we were doing these games... Or we
could back that up. You were on Corden?
Sorry, I meant Fallon.
Okay.
I was on a show at night, and there was games being played.
So you
expect me to remember every one of those?
Okay, so you're on At Midnight.
And one of the things was things you shouldn't say, mm-hmm. or something like that, mm-hmm. or things you accidentally say. And one of them was, I can't believe I accidentally said Han Solo dies on television. And they beeped it.
They bleeped,
which I thought was kind of moving on to my Second Amendment rights.
Well, I would say,
First Amendment.
The Second Amendment.
I got real nervous out there, and I drank beers.
That's okay. Just relax, Jonah. Relax. There was probably a 3-week period where I think the decent thing to do would be to not mention what happens in the Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about that the Star Wars, that what happened. When I say what happens in the Star Wars movie, I'm not talking about that they basically remade the first Star Wars movie again. That's not what I meant when I said something happened in it.
They made it bigger.
I like that point when these bad guys need to shift off of this whole Death Star thing. They need to just realize... Because they're just like, we got a Death Star.
I love it. I love the idea.
And then in Return of the Jedi, they're just like, got another Death Star.
Yeah, but this one's bigger. But, it's going to be so great.
But then now they're like, we got a Death Star, but wait till you see how huge this thing is.
Biggest one yet.
Like, yeah, it's like this whole idea of a round... planet-like weapon might not be working for you guys.
No. It's just, we were wrong the first two times. It's just got to be bigger.
This one, yeah. This one's like 100 times. And it's also just like, how could that thing be that big? There'd be like parts of it that people, it would be like Australia where you didn't get to the middle. Like the middle of it would be like uninhabitable because of the amount of humans or clones it would take to run that thing.
They don't use clones anymore. They stopped the clone program, such as the whole thing with Finn. The stormtrooper that was raised since birth to be a fighter and a killer,
uh-huh.
and he has a great sense of humor all of a sudden.
That was true. Suddenly he's got some pretty impeccable reactor timing down of just suddenly he's Ben Stiller. Just like, it's like, wait, you were... pretty much a number up until 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Now you're cracking everyone up with your wacky aside. Look, that Star Wars movie, I gotta admit, I glazed over for about half of that thing. I was, for some reason, it didn't do it for me.
I saw it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it with my friend Neil Mahoney, uh-huh. and he fell asleep.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I don't know. Uh-huh. I dummy up when I go to movies. I used to, you know, be so broke every time I saw a movie, I needed to enjoy it because I didn't want to feel like I wasted my money.
Sure.
And that's carried over into my adult life.
Mm-hmm. Where you'll just be like, I liked it so much. And then like when you're alone, suddenly you're like, wait, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
Like, but you want to like things. You want to be a fan of things.
Sure. Yeah. So, no, yes. We all want it. That's what we want. We want it so bad that it just ruins it for us.
I wanted to like the Star Wars movie. It was completely fine. It felt like above average fan fiction is what it felt like.
You know what? I don't think so. I think there was a lot of fan disservice.
Okay.
If you don't mind me saying. I think here's my biggest problem with the entire movie.
Okay.
Han dies.
Yeah.
Chewy has been a friend of Han for a very long time.
Yeah.
So he also has been a friend of Princess Leia because they were together for a long time.
Yeah.
Chewy was most likely there the entire time.
Yeah.
Han Solo dies. Chewy gets off of the fucking Millennium Falcon. I'm sorry.
Hey, Mike, did you read him the thing? Did you tell him?
You did. I overheard that I have one or two. I have one or two that I can say.
We got one.
I got one, and that's it. And that's it. And you know what?
None left, bro.
Wasn't worth it.
Now I'm going to go to Twitter and see what people are saying about that. I just want to watch this for 1 second.
Sure. They don't like the fact that I'm on anyway.
No, they like it. Who is this guy anyway?
Yep.
I made that up. how much fan fiction do you think Tom has read? I haven't read any fan fiction.
I'm sure you've read your own fan fiction.
Oh, I actually read it on a recording. I read fan fiction that people had written, like fun adventures, and it was very upsetting to have people write to make you a character in a thing. It's very upsetting.
What, right. Because you couldn't control what you wanted to do?
Well, because they're putting you in weird situations that have nothing to do with how you conduct your life.
You don't know that. You've never been in those situations.
Well, I generally wouldn't write about my own death, for example.
Well, that's a weird fan fiction.
Well, that was one of them.
Tim Burton write that?
I was in the hate pit again.
Oh, no.
I was in my own hate pit. So, forgetting what you just said with your foul podcast language. Look,
let me apologize for the vulgarity.
Okay, that stuff might fly when it's the Nerdist crew sitting around shooting the ass and you guys are just loving the, who can meld this curse with that curse.
Is this starting? Are we doing this?
No. I'm just saying. I'm coming a little harder than I want to because you can't do that again. That's all.
But it's starting to make other things bubble up.
I don't even know what could bubble up.
Your hatred of the West Coast podcasting.
No, I like it. Are you kidding? I'm jealous, if anything. This is like nothing out here. This is like weird scavengers on their own. Everybody's like out there, it's like everybody's friends, and it's like, I'll go on your show if you go on my show. You go on my show and you go on your show. I'll do a thing on your show, then you do my. Then we'll have a convention, and there's so then there's a thing for people who don't know this L.A. podcast convention, and it's like, God have mercy on anybody. But you look at the list; it's everybody. Everybody's there. Oh, there's Marc Maron. There's everybody. There's Scott Aukerman, and all the way down, everybody's at this thing. Here they do this thing, and it like they might as well just have passed around a sign-in sheet at Port Authority. It would be like pretty much the same list for the New York podcast thing. Be like, if they just asked people sleeping at the bus station to sign in, it would pretty much line up perfectly with the New York podcast convention.
Well, you know, the Nerdist has never done the L.A. Podfest.
What's that?
The
Nerdist.
The Nerdist is a podcast that I'm on, but they did have...
I like how a minute ago I referenced it, and now I'm pretending I don't know what it is. So Nerdist is a podcast you're on.
Yeah, but then also they made the mistake of having Jonah Radio on the podcast.
Which is your rogue podcast.
That's my rogue podcast.
Which is not affiliated. What is it? Your podcast is like...
It's on the Nerdist Network.
But you don't record it at any sort of... Like, it's not...
No, we did it at our friend Stoney's place.
When I was on it with John Worster, we did it, and Mike Kroll was there. It was great. It was a good time.
It was a good time. You know, yes. Sometimes it's Mahona Radio. Mm-hmm. It's a very dumb thing.
Yes. But you're free and easy with it.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a long time. We do it. We don't want to get sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not. It's basically our dad jam band, mm-hmm. and we do it when we want to have some fun and have some drinks with each other.
So it's like a cool hang.
You say that like you hate cool hangs. Oh, to hang with friends and to just have a good time and listen to tunes.
That's a fair point. It's a fair point. See, I'll admit when something's a fair point, I'll admit it. And that was a fair point. I did come on a little strong on that one.
Technically, this is my second appearance on this show.
Second appearance? What was the first one?
When you told a story about me stealing a beer from you.
See, I was not going to bring that up.
Of course. Why wouldn't you bring it up?
Because
Marcia would be so remiss if we didn't bring it up.
Oh, no. This is, right now, she's screaming at her computer saying, mention the beer. And look, maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it did. It did happen.
It did. No. That's the part. That's the worst part. Uh-huh. It did. I literally took your beer.
Uh-huh.
But at this point,
this is the whole thing. Long time ago.
Probably over 10 years now.
You were a young striver at that point, fresh from the beaches of Hawaii, right?
Right off the beaches.
Right off the beaches. Because you are from Hawaii.
Yeah, born and raised in Hawaii, yeah.
Yes. Right now, Fred from Honolulu screaming in his radio. Right? Radio. He's screaming at his computer.
No, well, he hooked his computer up into an old-timey radio. Okay. The speakers are just warmer.
So you're from Hawaii. You moved to Los Angeles. When do you move? How old are you when you go to Los Angeles?
I just turned 19, and I moved to Los Angeles in August of 2001.
And was that a school thing that brought you there? What brought you there? It was comedy?
Yeah, I wanted to do comedy. Yes. I wanted to go to New York, but it was too much. It was too frightening. I couldn't wrap my head around. Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah,
and you were. This is funny because you were frightened of New York in August of 2001. Imagine how you would have felt. You just had one short month, and you would have been like, you would have been paddling back in the Hudson trying to get back home. So you made the right choice by going to Los Angeles. So you go there. You're a young striver. You're funny. You knew you were funny. Right?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny, yeah.
But you wanted to make it. You didn't have two nickels to rub together.
No.
So you find yourself at the arcade bar. What was that called again?
Barcade.
Barcade.
Just combine the words.
The arcade bar is called Barcade.
Yeah.
So you're at Barcade in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I'm there with my friend Marcia. Sparky Pop.
Sparky Pop.
My best friends. And then you see it sitting there.
I just ordered. Oh, no, let's not fucking.
Oh! All right, you have to leave for 5 minutes. I'm serious.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You have to go out for 5 minutes. What's that? Penalty box. I tell you, these podcast guys are unbelievable, man. They are. They have no sense of propriety. They just don't know how to handle themselves. And Fred, I want you to call in and yell at this clown later. Best show. I mean, what would
this is Bob from Halifax.
What? Bob from Halifax. Okay, Bob from welcome, Bob from Halifax.
Hi.
How can this
guy not?
I want
to talk about the best, worst, best.
All right, fair enough. Let's talk about the topic tonight. Best, worst, best. Best of the worst, worst of the best. What do you got?
Okay, for the worst of the best,
yeah,
I got Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac.
Well, that's not true.
What? Really?
That's not their worst song. I think the worst would be that Oh Daddy.
Oh Daddy?
Oh Daddy. That's their worst off Rumors. Oh Daddy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
You don't think Don't Stop is
I think Oh
bad?
Daddy is worse. I think Don't Stop is bad. I think Oh Daddy is worse.
Oh, I'll have to, because I don't know that one off the top of my head.
Those Christine McVie songs, man. One's worse than the next. And that's why you don't like Don't Stop, because that's a Christine McVie song. But it's sung it's got a Lindsey Buckingham. Look, it's a smash hit. What are you going to do? It's a smash hit. People like it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's overdone. All you think of is Bill Clinton dancing around when he was getting into the office, right? Isn't that what you think of? See, that's not exactly the first thing.
I was thinking that it was like an end of over the end credits of a 70s sitcom.
Yeah.
Okay. You know?
All right. Oh, Daddy's worse. What do you got? What else you got, Chief?
For the best of the worst?
Yeah.
I have Falling Away From Me by Korn.
Falling? How's that one go?
Oh, it's like beating me down, beating me, beating me, beating me down, down. into the ground.
That's not the one. That's not the one where he goes, sometimes I feel my, right? The one where he's like, sometimes it's my own thing I hate. No, that's Freak on a Leash.
I don't think so, no. No. Right.
Good call, bro. Like Best show, welcome.
How's it going? How are we doing?
Yeah, great. Who is it? What are you, in a rush? What are you, catching a train?
No, we're good.
Okay, what's your name?
AJ.
AJ?
Yes.
Where are you calling from, AJ?
Raleigh.
AJ in Raleigh, North Carolina?
That's right, man.
Let me ask you something, AJ. What are you doing this Saturday night?
I will be attending the live Best Show at Motorco.
Yeah, Sharpling and Worcester live at Motorco. In Durham. You got your tickets? It's selling fast.
I do.
It really is. It's selling fast, bro. You better have your tickets. I don't want to see you crying outside the door. I called the show. It's me, AJ. Let me in.
I got him.
You got him. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, have you seen the Billy Crystal NBA television commercial?
No, but I want to. What is it? Okay. Tell me about this.
Okay, well, he's with the Clippers, and they're on, like, a Clipper ship, I guess.
Okay.
And it's, like, stormy weather, and Billy Crystal pops up with, like, a raincoat. He looks like the fish stick guy. And he says to DeAndre Jordan.
Gloucester guy? That guy? From Gortons of Gloucester?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what Billy Crystal looks like.
So it's him on the thing, and who's he on with? Is he on with any players?
DeAndre Jordan is, like, pulling, like, cords and raising sails or doing whatever you do on, like, a big ship.
Yeah. So Billy Crystal's on a ship with DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
And they're sailing on a Clipper ship.
And Billy Crystal asks him, is the whole season going to be this hard? He's having second thoughts.
Is it 5 minutes? Come on back in. Next time it's 10 and you have to do it in the bathroom. You have to sit in the bathroom the whole time. And if anybody has to use it, that's your problem.
It wasn't intentional. It's like you're making fun of my speech impediment.
Well, your speech impediment. Let's let this guy finish his story about Billy Crystal. So you're watching this commercial with Billy Crystal and DeAndre Jordan, and they're sailing an actual Clipper ship in the harbor?
It's not. It's like it's in the ocean. It's like a real dramatic big storm type thing going on. Yeah.
Did you ever root more for, like, a torpedo than in that moment?
I was pulling hard for the storm. I was on nature's side during the whole commercial.
Yeah. So it's choppy water. So he's like water splashing all over him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is his cheap makeup running down his face, like that cheap pink makeup they put on him?
I think he's got like an old fisherman beard, I think.
Okay, so he's in that mode. He's in rugged crystal mode, right?
Yes.
That's an unpolished crystal. So
that's Billy Cole.
Yeah, Billy Cole. Yes. Okay. So when you're watching this commercial, what are you in Los Angeles resident, sir?
No.
So you saw this on the internet or on your actual television set?
I think it's for, like, TNT or something.
Okay.
NBA and TNT, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't see it. I'm going to watch it. So is that the best of the worst?
I think that's, like, par for the course for Billy Crystal. So it doesn't really apply to the topic. I just thought you had to be aware of this. So
you like, basketball, bro? You like basketball?
Myself, yeah.
Yeah. Who do you like?
I like the Sixers.
The Sixers, yeah. Let me know how that goes.
You'll be the first one.
Joel Embiid. Well, that was a... Yeah. They're just... What are they going to tank? Are they just going to keep tanking it until what? What's the goal there?
Until they get a decent pick, I guess.
At some point, you have to get, like, good players who know the NBA. You can't just have, like, these guys who you just draft. It's bad.
It is, yeah. It's gonna be
bad for
the dude out of there.
The Knicks are gonna be bad for 100 years. They got that one dude who looks like a waiter at Veselka now. Who, and I'm not even saying that. I swear I thought he was at Veselka, Porzingis, but it was not him because this guy was 6'1" and okay. Porzingis is 7'3". But you got some, no pun intended, some choppy waters ahead. Good luck with that. Goodbye. Welcoming back to the best show, we got Jonah Ray, host co-host of Meltdown. Which is your Comedy Central show.
Yes.
Which is you and Kamel.
Yeah, Kamel Nanjiani.
Yes, who I ran into on a plane. Did you hear about that exciting exchange when he was in first class and I was in coach and had to walk past him sitting there and just keep going? One of those fun times.
Seems like this situation was made tailor for you.
Oh, no. That, as it was happening, I just said, yeah, of course. I said, yep. Sure, I've sat next to Dylan McDermott in first class. They're not all bummers.
I've never sat next to anyone famous in any plane. I saw Susan Sarandon on a plane once, and that was exciting.
Yeah.
But I was way in the back.
Uh-huh.
Exit row.
Okay. And did you curse in her face and then say, whoops? No. Okay. So... Now this, because you do this show. Is there's another season of that coming?
Yeah, we'll be doing a third season this year sometime.
And when is that going to happen?
We're probably going to shoot it this summer. It's Kumail and Emily, his wife, who also co-produces the Meltdown show. They're making a movie that Showalter's directing. So we got to wait for that to be done until we start doing it.
So Showalter's directing it.
Yeah, did you not get it?
Or I mean, I would probably have said. Michael Showalter is directing it.
Well, is there another Showalter that we know that would direct the movie?
Well, if the people listening to this show might think Buck Showalter was directing a movie. There's a lot of sports fans. It's not his show. They might be, hey, good for him. I always thought he had an eye for the visual.
Yeah. I was going to jump in on the conversation with that guy because I read Billy Crystal's autobiography.
Still fooling him. That
made me throw the book down.
Still fooling him.
Just looking in the mirror.
When he talks about Mickey Mantle, still fooling
him. Still fooling him.
Billy, still fooling him.
You're really doing a good job.
Do you ever hear the Wheel of Crystal we do on this show?
No.
Thanks for listening. So,
do you listen to anything I do?
Of course I do.
What do you listen to?
I listen to The Nerdist.
No, you don't.
Sure I do.
No, you don't?
I've heard probably 140 episodes of it.
What?
Name a guest. I'll tell you if they were on it.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah, of course he was. He was on for The Comedians. Him and Josh Gad were in that time. It was a very funny episode.
Did you hear the part where he asked who I was?
See, and no, I didn't.
That was just a straight up. That was like you. That was a guess.
What?
Did you just make that up?
No. Of course, what? I made it up. I don't listen to that show.
Exactly. I made a joke. We started recording. I made a joke, and Billy Crystal stops the conversation to go, "Who's this guy? What is he talking?"
So he was just like, I'm going to do this thing. It's got this guy who does the nerd stuff, and he does the thing after the zombie show. It's his thing. And then suddenly he's like, why is the custodian talking all of a sudden?
Who's the schlubby IT guy? And why is he allowed a mic?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, Billy, if you looked, if you could pry those eyes open after having your face stretched 60 times, you might be able to see that guy's sitting in front of a microphone. Not like he walked in with some your radio man, like that guy, Radio Man?
Radio Man. That was Cuba Gooding Jr.'s movie.
No, that's Radio. There's this guy, Radio Man, who bum rushes New York film productions, and then they put him in everything. You'll see in the background of like 30 Rock, you see this. I think he's homeless or whatever. Everybody gives him, so he gets like insurance that way or something. But I think he kind of like inserts himself into things, and then people make sure he gets taken. Some very nice people put him in the things.
Yeah, and in L.A., the people that do that, they usually all say the same thing, which is, y'all making a movie.
Uh-huh.
Put me in your movie.
Yeah, put me in your movie.
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, y'all make a movie? Put me in your movie.
You're so close to cursing now, I can tell.
I'm not at all. I'm actually... I'm trying to be the most articulate. I think about every word, and this is the way I talk when I'm trying not to say like, or any swears.
Okay. Well, good. You're doing great. You're doing great. I'm very proud of you.
You are not.
I am. So going back, it's the year's 2002, probably at this point. A young streetwise hustler making his way through the comedy world, one nickel at a time. Jonah Ray. He's hanging out at Barcade, Los Angeles. He sees his friend Marsha, and she says, "Hey, this is Tom Sharpling." And then you say, whatever you say, whatever.
Was it as dismissive as what you just said just now?
I don't know. I thought so. Then we're hanging out, and I'm like, "Oh, this guy's a nice guy." And then I order a cold beer,
nice cold brew.
Yeah,
I remember it was real cold.
And I turn away. And then you see it. And did it light? Just tell me this. Was it like there was a halo around it when I walked away from it? Did it go
No, it was like a cartoon where there was the smell of beer traced back to my nose and I floated towards it.
Across the room horizontally. You just floated toward it.
Yeah.
So then when you first saw it, did you kind of twiddle your fingers a little and go, hmm?
Well, first I turned to the bartender. I said, "I will gladly pay you Tuesday for an IPA today."
Uh-huh.
And he says, "It's that guy, that's not paying attention.
So just give me a look into the psyche. It's all I want." And we will never talk about this ever again.
It's hard not to bring up.
The mindset.
We were at a friend's wedding and we talked about this.
Yeah. And I let you bring it up. I will never bring it up. I will always put it on you. I would let this die. You have brought it up every single time.
I know, because I know that's what you're thinking.
But this is what happened. This is a classic thing. It was like an episode. I never felt more like Columbo than when you said to me, I heard you on the radio talking about that thing with the beer, and I didn't take it. I was like, I never said your name, and then you're like, whoops.
I know you never said my name.
Yeah, but then you were just like, you said, I heard you accuse me of it. It's like, and then you're like, I was like, well, I didn't accuse you. I just told the story. I didn't name anyone.
No, you know how many people texted me saying, Tom is talking about you right now.
Yeah, and then, Tom never said your name. You're the one who's, I just said, a guy took a beer. You're the one who confessed in that moment. That was a confession. That's why Columbo would always get those guys.
Look, one more thing.
Would it hold up in court? No, it wouldn't. Every case Columbo did got tossed out of court. He has the lowest success record of any detective in Los Angeles LAPD history.
But at that point, it's not even his. He doesn't care. He made the case, so he's done.
And then he's hanging out at the Magic Castle. Yeah. He's like, hey, what happened to that that detective who put this case, the thinnest ice imaginable, together? Oh no, he's chasing after a magician whose assistant was found dead while the guy was on stage. He's putting another razor thin case together.
Oh, the guy with the eye? Yeah, that's the dude. How many times did you want to make a Columbo reference while making Monk?
You mean like an active one?
Well, just a slight style reference.
The existence of the show was a Columbo. It was in every show at that point. And look, I never talk about Monk because it's boring to talk about writing jobs. But I'll answer this question gladly. Every show at that point was some sort of high tech team solving things. Mm-hmm. So just the actual spirit of this character Andy Breckman created of a single solitary detective solving things in a deductive manner. Because of that, it was a straight-up reference to Columbo, just in the fact that it went against the trends of what were considered detective shows at that point.
For sure. But you never had him once say one more thing?
No. No, we didn't.
Okay, so back to this Rashomon of beer stealing.
Yeah. So your point of view. Give me your point of view. I'm just going to close my eyes and listen to this story now.
So I walk up. I order a beer. Mm-hmm. I turn and talk to my friend, mm-hmm. Catherine. Mm-hmm. I turn back.
Okay.
There's a beer there.
Mm-hmm.
I pick it up.
Yeah.
And then some dude I just met saying, hey, man, you're drinking my beer.
And then the bartender didn't come over and go, oh, no, here's your beer. He's right. Here's his beer. Let me see.
You really think I tried to steal your beer?
What was the name?
Was working at the Arclight. I had money. I was working at a movie theater.
What was the name of that web series you're doing at that time?
Freeloader's Guide to Easy Living, where I would steal drinks. But don't confuse the art with the artist, man.
No. Look.
See, that's what you did. You took the narrative that I was putting up on the internet, then you projected it onto the situation.
You took it.
I did. That's the thing.
But I did take it. It's okay. I don't care. It's a beer.
How much more money were you making than me at that point?
Probably about the same amount that you're making more than me right now. 14 years later.
Yeah, here I am.
Great feeling.
Emptying your fridge.
Yeah. Why don't you have another show? Why don't you get another show going? Are there any left? And look, when I say this. This is what I say, Jonah. Jonah,
Tom,
I blew it.
What'd you blow?
I built this backwards. I should have done what you guys did. I should have moved to Los Angeles and just taken what was in front of me rather than try to follow this punk rock, indie rock curse. That I stuck DIY. Ain't nobody's doing DIY in Los Angeles.
I find that it's a detriment sometimes, the ideals that, the thought in the back of your head, what would Ian MacKay say?
Yeah.
What would he say if you did that?
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can never be, there's no limit to how punk you can be with anything.
Mm-mm.
There's no limit. You can never be punk. There's somebody who can say to you, yeah, that's still not punk enough, bro.
Yeah. You made money?
Yeah. You can still be held to some standard that is untenable.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you just have to say, I just can't exist by these rules, these boundaries. So I'm just going to go to Los Angeles and stop trying to be punk and stop putting things out there, try to put a good thing out there and figure it'll come back to you.
A lot of punk happened in California, Los Angeles in particular.
Yeah, but
Black Flag.
Yeah.
Minuteman, FYP.
I think I remember Black Flag signing to MCA and it just not going well for them. They certainly made the move.
Sure.
And all everybody's favorite punk albums, a lot of them are on Sire Records.
Yeah, or Chrysalis.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a fair amount of them.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'll put my own things out. That's where it got me now.
So it was your dedication to the DIY aesthetic that led you
getting
to this
lapped.
Place.
Everybody's passing me by. Everybody's lapping me. They're all getting lapped now.
But you have integrity.
Yeah. Well, it's really awesome to eat for dinner? Integrity. You should try eating integrity for dinner.
You know what?
Or handing that to the guy who asks at the bank when they ask for a mortgage, and you just say, I don't have any money this month, but you should see the things that the people write about the show I do.
How did you hold on to your... And I know you don't talk about it, but how did you hold on to your punk rock credibility while working on Monk? Did you just consider it a job?
I was doing almost a full-time, what became a full-time job, doing the best show on a non-commercial station where there was never a chance of making money at it. So
you were able to find two things that were opposite of each other to justify each of them.
I think so, but that's if you're even saying that the one that pays is... needs to be the opposite of punk. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the game. That's the game you get into. And it's you can't ever get out of it. If you get in, you have to get yourself out because you're in.
I feel extremely guilty from the money I've made doing this stuff. And that's why I'm spending money on putting out other people's records.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like survivor's guilt.
because you're trying to do something good with it, though. Because think about it this way. George Lucas makes all this money, right? What does he do with it? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Builds a special effects studio, and he does things that beget more money. But then you think of a guy like Francis Ford Coppola, right? And then he said that the only good money is good for only one thing. The only thing it's good for is to do stuff with it. And then he takes his money and he keeps sinking it into things. And then he goes broke. And then he makes more money and he goes broke again. He just keeps playing playing the game over and over.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, would you stop at any point? Did you ever have a thing where you're like, I'll make enough money to where I'm just done? You would never be done. You would just keep on making stuff.
With this?
With anything you do, any creative endeavor.
I never want to be done with this.
You would never be done with anything.
This is my favorite thing to do, Jonah.
And this is one of the best things.
Well, thank you. Look.
Are we getting too deep for the show?
No, not at all. Admittedly, it's not. Look, you're one of the haves in this world. You're one of the haves. You're part of the Nerdist Network. You got everybody coming through. You got, oh, it's nice to meet you, Sir Paul McCartney. Oh, it's nice to meet you, Governor Schwarzenegger.
Former governor, but, you know.
But you always call him a governor.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I didn't. He had a lot of paintings of himself all over his house.
But you always, yeah, and then, but you're meeting all these people. Meanwhile, I'm here, I'm like saying, well, Mike, no, I'll try to get those cheese chip crunchers at Costco. They were out of them this time. And then I have to deal with the dirty look he shoots back at me. I was like, Mike, was I supposed to drive to more than one Costco to find your chips? Like, that's where I'm at.
But you put that on me. You put, like, the Nerdist stuff, like, I'm the one who does it. I'm just a guy that's there. I'm a professional guy to the side.
Yeah, but you're in. And I'm not even, look, I'm teasing with that stuff. I tease. I've talked to, and I'm teasing back. I know, but I'm just like, people are going to take this way too seriously. I ran into Chris last year, and I talked about it on the air. I teased Chris on the show. I only tease him because he's at the top of the pyramid. What, you can't throw rocks at the king anymore?
Well, only if you call him the king.
But he is the king.
Of what?
Of podcast entertainment.
It's not Scott. It's not Mark.
Well, I get along with those guys too. Like Mark, I'm actual real life friends with.
You guys are really. You got to do more Mark and Tom show.
Mm-hmm. I've never wanted Sharpling to Bad Company or Gomp an in-studio guest until Jonah Ray came on the best show tonight. Interesting.
Yeah.
Everybody's got different opinions about Jonah Ray being in studio.
No. A lot of people do not like me.
Let me see here. What other people saying? This guy's cool.
I wish he was.
I made that one up.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping he would be as flowery with his language as the guy who hated me, but that's rarely ever the case.
Oh, look. It's you.
What do those people want? What do they want from me?
Look, you're not the head of the thing. You're like a Goebbels. You know what I mean? Over at Nerdist. Like, you're like you're not at the top.
No, I'm not near the top. Listen, this guy.
I like teasing.
Why don't you bad company me off this thing?
No, this is what I'm going to say. In all seriousness, I think you're a very funny guy. I think you're very.
Why did I hear your friends laughing in the other room when you said that?
Don't call Mike. Please, Mike is not my friend.
You're Mike a funny guy. Mike huge laughs in the other room.
Mike is a coworker. No, I like you.
Thank you. I like you too. We do get along.
We do.
I honestly, as much as I like this show, I would have, like, if you just said, hey, let's go get dinner while I'm in town.
Yeah.
I would have, you know.
Yeah, I would have done that too, but it was like, you're here for a limited window. Why are you here? What are you working on now?
I'm promoting the CISO show I'm doing, Hidden America.
Okay, and what CISO, for people who don't know, it's a new network that is started. It's a web. It's like a comedy Netflix.
Yep.
And you have a show that's coming out. And what is this show now?
It's called Hidden America. It's a fake travel show. It's like a parody of Bourdain stuff.
Okay.
So, the travel is real. We actually go to all these towns, but all the people we talk to are fake.
Because you were bouncing all over the country.
Yeah.
I saw that. And you have a lot of funny people on it. And when does that come out?
June 2nd.
Okay. And that will be how many episodes did you do?
9.
So you did 9 episodes. So you have that. You have Meltdown.
Meltdown.
Nerdist thing, which...
I do 1 episode of Nerdist every 3 weeks.
Okay. So you're on the Nerdist show once every 3 weeks. And then you've got this Mystery Science Theater reboot happening.
No, it's just continuation. It's the next season.
So it's the next season, but with new dudes on it.
Yeah.
So what... When does that go down?
We start writing March 7th, and then okay. I think we start shooting in September.
Okay. And how many episodes are you doing of that?
14, and then I think a Christmas special and a Thanksgiving Turkey Day marathon.
That's awesome. See, it's all going your way.
It is.
It's all going your way, Jonah
Ray.
It's
a literal childhood dream come true. And thank you. I appreciate you doing your best to compliment my life.
Well, who, Mike? Is anybody here good? They're all good. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom and Jonah, this is Matt from Massachusetts. How you guys doing?
Matt from Massachusetts. What's up, Matt?
Not much. I have a couple for the topic.
Now, the topic is the best of the worst and the worst of the best.
I actually have one of each.
Oh, let's hear it.
For a worst of the best, I have to go with Revolution Rock by The Clash.
What's that on? Combat Rock?
London Calling.
Hmm. London Calling.
And there's a little
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's the worst song on London Calling. It's just kind of, because it's the second to last song right before Train in Vain.
Yes.
It's just kind of a bit of a weight and a bit of a speed bump with the 3 minutes of Joe Strummer asking for more of that She Is Greater sound.
This is what I'm going to say, bro. I listened a couple months ago to all the Clash albums in a row. And it got to such a hazy point getting through Sandinista that I don't think I've recovered from that. I still think I feel like I'm in some weird fog that I haven't gotten out of. And I'm kind of still confused a little bit by it.
Oh, I'm with you there. I own a copy of Sandinista on vinyl, and I still haven't gotten all the way through it.
No. These are the things I did. For some reason, I'm taking on all these long-term projects. Listen to all the Clash stuff. Listen to Sandinista straight through with all that. Read Catch 22, which is like being caught in a nightmare. And it took me years to finally get through it. I finally pushed, got through it. I've been working my way. I listened to Helter Skelter, the audiobook, over the last 3 weeks. So a little trapped inside that world simultaneously. And I keep listening to this King Crimson 1974 box set, 22 CDs of them live.
Jeez.
And I feel like I'm seeing them in concert. I feel like I bounce from seeing King Crimson play in Quebec City to hanging out with Charles Manson to going into the world of Catch-22, and that's kind of where I'm... And I do this every week, this show every week.
Yeah. So
you get trapped in these bubbles. You ever have that with something where it's a big thing and you feel like you're in it and you can't get out of it?
Yeah,
while you're seeing your way through it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in that right now, actually, with a couple of things.
Like what?
I'm working on People's History of the United States.
Yes.
By Howard Zinn. Yes. Just sitting on my table next to me in my living room, and I just kind of stare off at it and tell myself I should probably read another chapter of that, and then that just doesn't really happen.
Yeah. What else?
And then working through Ryan Adams' discography, including all of the unreleased albums, is just, I love the guy, but it's daunting.
Yeah.
He puts out too much.
I'm cool with Ryan.
I'll agree with you there. It's kind of like a Guided by Voices thing where there's so much stuff and it's hard to sift through it, but like every album that's released, like a solid quarter of it to a third of it, that's definitely great.
Yeah, I'll say that about Guided by Voices records. It's like every album is a good EP. It's like probably one of the best EPs.
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to what Joe Strummer said about Sandinista when they released it. He said a thing, it was like, it was a pretty good triple record, would have been a real good double record, would have been a fantastic single record. It would have been an incredible EP.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Look, it's fine for what it is. It's a thing. It's almost, there's almost no opinion you can have of it. It just is. Yeah. It's absolutely. Just this giant thing dropped on your head. You don't know what to do with it.
It shows like the ideas they have, and just it just kind of unrelenting. It just shows, oh yeah, these guys were thinking about all this stuff while they were recording it, and collaborating with people, and just trying new things.
Now, Jonah, as a young boy in growing up in Hawaii, where did you grow up in Hawaii?
On Oahu, in Kamakia and Kailua.
And how did you find music? Like, what was your exposure to different kinds of music?
I had an older brother, and he got into metal. So he got into Slayer, Metallica, Megadeth, stuff like that. And so we were into that stuff.
Okay.
And then when Nirvana came around, into that. But then me and my friend Donald saw flyers for a local punk show. And we're like, oh, we should go. And so we were like 12 or 13, and that's how we got involved in the punk scene. And because of guys that were like selling cheap, you know, distro style, mm-hmm. like 7-inches and stuff like that. That's how sure. we got into punk.
And the crazy bands do not make their way to Hawaii generally.
Rarely, yeah. There was a few, and we always, you know, Unwound made it. I couldn't go in because it was a 21 and over show, but I was able to stand outside and listen. The Softies came. We would write bands and say, hey, do you want a trip to Hawaii? You'll uh-huh. lose money, but we'll show you around.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of be your tour guides if you
sure.
want. Sure. Yeah, that was, yeah.
So some bands did come, yet Unwound came.
Unwound came. Microphones came. Sicko was a fun one. Scared of Chaka. So like, every once in a while.
Okay.
It just wasn't too frequent. And the bands that did come a lot were the bands that you didn't really like, you know, NOFX, Pennywise, Guttermouse, that kind of skate punk stuff. That it was real big in Hawaii, but not necessarily conducive to
So you would go to shows like that, even though it's maybe the best you're going to get.
Yeah, it was the one thing you could do that week that would be close to what you wanted.
Yeah.
And so you would go, you know, I didn't like Mighty Mighty Bosstones, but I went to go see them every time they played because there was nothing else to do.
Now, when you'd go see these bands, would they bum you out because suddenly they're wearing like Hawaiian shirts and they think it's like funny that they're in Hawaii and you're just like, why can't you look cool like you do when you play every band
would do that. Every band would be sunburned. If they got there, you could always tell like how long they were in town before the show with how burnt out they were.
Yeah. And then you're just like, maybe you guys could just act like this is like not a place where people go to vacation.
Yeah,
it's like we're here to see you play.
Yeah, Swingin' Utters came to town, which I enjoy Swingin' Utters, but they puked like throughout the entire thing because they had been outside in the sun drinking all day.
Yeah,
They couldn't handle it.
Wow, it's a rough world out there, man. Thanks for the call, buddy. Best show.
Oh. Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Angela.
Hi, Angela. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ithaca, New York.
What's going on in Ithaca tonight?
Not much. Just listening to the show.
Thank you.
So I had one for the topic. Might be a stretch.
Sure. What do you got? You're here with Jonah Ray's here also.
Yes, I know. Hi, Jonah. I had a question for you after as well.
Delightful. Thank you.
For the best of the worst of the best, mm-hmm. Trying to hit all three there.
Yeah.
I was thinking about David Milch's John from Cincinnati. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. I did. I think it was a very smart move to have that start right after The Sopranos ended.
Yeah.
That was like the kiss of death.
Yeah.
It was awful. On every level.
What was the show? That was a guy who was Jesus living in Venice Beach?
Something like that.
Yeah. I think it was maybe it was a fictitious beach town, but it was, made no sense.
So that's the worst of the best.
That was the worst of the best, but there was a best moment on the show.
Okay, what's that?
Luke Perry's character, remember exactly what was going on. I think they were in some kind of a buffet, but in the middle of it, he pulls his pants down and does a full moon and screams out, "How about some ham?" which was Dada-esque and ridiculous.
So you liked that moment?
I thought it was funny.
Okay, look. Hey, did you see Deadpool?
I did not see
you
Deadpool.
Didn't?
What's that?
What's that? Are you kidding?
This is the highest grossing rated R movie of all time.
It's a, this guy's a real, it's a superhero, but he's a wise guy. Who may, imagine Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Imagine your least favorite, what's your least favorite Jim Carrey movie?
Liar, Liar?
Yes, perfect. Now imagine, that, imagine that guy put on a red costume and ran around and you also gave him guns.
Yeah.
There you go. That's Deadpool.
Pretty bad.
What if Peter Griffin from Family Guy was...
Yeah, that's what it's like. What if Peter Griffin... And this Deadpool. It's like, look, I saw Deadpool. I was in a theater. I thought I was going to... I could barely see the screen through the Axe body spray wafting up off the crowd. Like, I had to bring a fan in to blow a clear path. So I could see the screen. It, he's like, and everybody in the theater is like broing out. I thought it was going to be like, if they do the next one of these movies and like he has to like rescue like, Dove Charney or like, or like, who would he say? He would save like Joe Francis. He seems like he'd like rescue Joe Francis from like, kidnappers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing Deadpool would do.
And the kidnappers in this case are the good guys.
Yeah. No, they're the good guys. They were trying to launch Joe Francis and Dove Charney into space.
Yeah.
And then, wait, that would be a good... Like, Deadpool realizes, like, oh, boy. Think I'm no different. Like, you look and it's like Seth MacFarlane's being herded into, like, a prison camp and...
It's like that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember the time I...
Yeah. Remember the time I
blank.
Finally realized that I can't even watch the show on any level because it... And, yeah. Remember the time I made money just boosting other things from other shows? Yes. So, thank you for the call.
She had a question for me.
Oh, no. She had a question for Jonah. That's right. Go ahead. It's all yours.
I just wanted to know if you had a favorite Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode.
I would normally say This Island Earth, which was the Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie. But since I can't, I would probably say that it's Zombie Nightmare is one of my favorites.
Okay.
Wow, yeah. Nice. Now, this Mystery Science, thank you for the call. It's you, and it's Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt will be playing TV's son of TV's Frank,
mm-hmm.
the Frank Conniff character.
And who else is on this now?
Two really great comics. Baron Vaughn will be the voice of Tom Servo, and Hampton Yunt will be the voice of Crow, T-Robot. Okay.
Nice.
And then Felicia Day will be playing the Dr. Forrester's daughter.
Awesome. So it's, and that's going to be a grand, and it's all, everybody's super excited about it. The internet.
You guys broke the internet.
Oh, what are we? Kim Kardashian's butt.
You broke the, look, it troubles me when you start talking about butts, because.
I almost said the other one, but I wasn't sure, but I heard you say that word earlier.
Hop, skipping a jump away from podcast.
Listen,
now.
I got Coop tweeting at me saying to shut my potty mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a guy
who all he does is draw and take pictures of naked ladies all day long. And he's like, yeah, this guy should click it back a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm really excited. Literal dream come true. So I'm really stoked on that.
But how could that even be a dream? It's almost like beyond a dream. They couldn't think you'd be like
it was
in
gone.
That role.
No, it's when I was a kid and I wanted to do comedy, I thought to myself, this show's going to be around forever. I'm going to get to a point where I can maybe take over. I really thought that was a possibility.
Really?
Yeah, I was done. I was a kid.
Look at this life.
What were the things you
Look
thought
of
as a kid?
Look at this life of yours. Well, I thought I could sink a good portion of my savings into building a studio. In an apartment, and yeah, but yeah, so my dreams are coming true too. So it's just a world of dreams coming true. No, it's fun.
Tom, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Look, for there to be a you, there has to be a me.
But haven't we been each other in different situations? And other? Yes, no, we have. No.
You were just young. You just didn't get there yet. I mean, you can't start there.
Remember when you had a hit radio show and you were on a hit TV show at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I was doing?
What's that?
Working at a movie theater.
And how old were you at that point?
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter because you
have, I was probably the age I was.
You have to go up at some point. It's you true. Can't. You, what do you want?
Well, how old
be?
Were you at that time?
47.
Well, you're holding up great.
I'm 68 now.
So. You're holding up real great.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play a couple records.
I can't wait. Everything you've been playing is pretty phenomenal.
You know this band, White Reaper?
No.
These guys are good.
What are they on?
They're on Polyphonic. No, Polyvinyl. Sorry, not Polyphonic. Yeah, they're in Polyphonic Spree.
Everyone is. Just name any band.
It's just six guys from Polyphonic Spree. Six of the 49 guys formed a new band.
It's 1% of Polyphonic Spree.
And this is their album called White Reaper Does It Again. Let's take a listen to this. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of Jonah Ray. Yeah, that was, Mike, who was that? You knew who that was. It was Royal Trucks, Mike. Our friend Neil Haggerty. Classic Royal Trucks. Going all the way back to the Vertical single, I believe, on that one. Right? Hero Zero? Is that the Vertical single? I can't remember anymore. So great. Can't mess with them. And before that, and that's available currently. You get that on Singles Live, unreleased on Drag City. That Royal Trucks collection. And starting us off, White Reaper. From their album, White Reaper Does It Again. Make Me Want to Die. And that is on, as I said before, Polyvinyl Records. So much good stuff. So much good stuff. Boo. Let's go back to the phones. Best Show.
Hey, Thomas King out in Newbridge Hills. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Ken. What's going on tonight on your end?
Could you play a song for me?
Maybe. I guess, yeah. What are you looking to hear?
I'd love to hear Crying by Roy Orbison. You know that song?
Crying by Roy Orbison. Wow. That's a pretty sad song.
Well, it's perfect for my mood, honestly.
I'm sorry. What's going on?
Oh, I don't want to get into it. You know, I mean, it's the same things everybody else is dealing with as they get older, you know. Mountain of debt, marriage in jeopardy, children are being really disrespectful, my cult member numbers are dwindling, flagrant bursitis, bilge pump is on the fritz.
Uh-huh. Wait, what?
You name it.
Sure. What can I just ask you, what did you say there?
Oh, my bursitis, it's really bad. Yeah, I was going to say, I wish you could see it, but I don't want you to see it. Everything's pretty red and bulbous.
Uh-huh. Ugh. That wasn't the thing, though, your bursitis. You, before the bursitis.
Oh, yeah, my kids are being complete creep munches. They want me to take them to see this this movie that I've heard's great called Deadpool.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My friends love it.
Okay. Well, but that's, look, before that, though, you said something about a cult?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, my cult members, they've become very disillusioned. I don't know why.
What do you mean by your cult members? You have a cult?
Barely. I mean, I'm down to like 30 members now. And I think only half of them are blindly devoted to me at this point. You know, the others just are pretty much sticking around for the free gruel.
The gruel.
Yeah. They get 2 cups a day. It's actually made from rotten wood pulp that the Parmesan cheese companies have rejected. Have you been following this whole thing with the Parmesan cheese?
I haven't, but I'd like to ask more about your cult, if you know.
Sure.
What is the name of the cult?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Uh-huh.
I'm just busting your beast. No, it's called the Serpent's Covenant.
Okay. The Serpent's Covenant.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, my parents started it as kind of a mom-and-pop cult back in 1984, and it pretty much evolved into the East Coast's largest and most terrifying cult. It was actually voted that 3 years running in the mid-90s.
It was voted that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Who voted the cult most terrifying cult?
The FBI. Why?
I don't know what you mean by they voted it.
Oh, well, they have a year-end award show where they announce who's, you know, the best fugitive, the most terrifying cult, the most prolific kidnapper, that sort of thing.
The FBI, you said they have an award show?
Yes, yeah. Hoover started it back in the 50s, and it's very prestigious. They have it in D.C. Every December. And Hoover actually used to MC it, but, you know, since he bought it, they get someone else to do it every year. 2015 was Andy Kindler.
Wait, Andy Kindler?
Yeah.
Wait, hosted the FBI's?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Very irreverent. Uh-huh. A lot of those guys wanted to kill him by the end of his bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But who would even, if there's an award thing like this, who would even accept the awards?
The winners. Yeah, anybody who's anybody on the most wanted list, they show up for this thing because, like I said, it's really prestigious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that doesn't make sense because the winners are all wanted by the FBI and they would be instantly arrested.
Oh, well, technically, yeah, but there's that's a day of amnesty. And everyone in law enforcement and government observes it, and it's quite an event. Obama was even there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The speeches are really entertaining.
Uh-huh, really?
Oh, yeah. You think the correspondence dinner is funny? That's like a wake compared to the Phoebes.
Uh-huh. What is the Phoebes?
Oh, that's the name of the award. It's like an Oscar, but it's J. Edgar Hoover pointing a machine gun at a truant's haunches.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to picture that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the fugitives and they give speeches?
Oh, yeah. El Chapo was great this year. he did it through an interpreter.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, man, the interpreter kept mangling your name. He kept saying shrapling.
Wait, hold on. El Chapo won,
mm-hmm.
And then he mentioned me in his speech?
He did, yeah. His he said that his kids drive him nuts listening to your show all the time, and he can't stand your voice.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, I mean that's what he said.
Sure. No, a caller actually mentioned a few weeks ago something about his kids listening to the show.
Oh, well, did he also say that El Chapo planned on doing to you what Rutger Howard did to Jessica Jason Lee in The Hitcher?
No. No, he didn't.
Well, that's good because it's a good thing that they got El Chapo. Otherwise, the top half of you would be heading to Reno,
uh-huh.
while your can would be on its way to Charleston.
Okay.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of surprised Andy Kindler kind of hung you out to dry and roasted your ass up there. I thought you guys were tight bros from way back when.
Uh-huh. Tight bros from way back. You mean the... Is that tape you're mentioning? Are you referring to that?
No, I said I was there at the ceremony. It wasn't on tape.
No, but there's a tape that circulated of like two dudes talking about guitarists that people call tight bros.
I don't know anything about it. No.
Okay, I thought, I mean, it's a weird phrase for you to say.
Oh, I don't know.
Tight bro, it's so specific.
I don't know.
Tight bros from way back when.
Right. I don't know. Well, I could also say something like, I don't know, Gilly. But, you know, what does that mean?
That's a reference to an SNL character.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess these are all things that I guess you're just...
I guess it's all just floating in the...
parallel.
Is it the ephemera or the ether? What's the difference?
I think it could be in the ether, and it's parallel thinking, I guess.
Okay.
Is probably what you're thinking it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess that's how that kind of stuff goes.
Could be. I don't know. You know what? I think you're... I'm sensing something in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
A little anger, a little jealousy.
Yeah.
Directed at Andy Kindler.
I don't think so.
I can feel it. I can feel it, and I know where it's coming from. You're a little jealous because he does like 8 different characters on Bob's Burgers, and you've only done it once.
Uh-huh. Well, you know? I've never done Bob's Burgers, actually.
You're kidding me. I've done it twice.
You've done Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's crazy. I thought it was a little harder, but you know what's actually a funny thing is that I may not have been on Bob's Burgers, but myself and my friend John Worcester are going to be on The Simpsons.
Shut up.
No.
On when?
March 13th.
No way.
No, I'm serious.
You two?
Yeah.
How did you get that?
Well, they wrote parts for us.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, well, I'll put a picture up. I'll put a picture up on Twitter. I'm not joking. March 13th.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it, just like the state of Missouri.
Yeah. Oh, so you wouldn't believe, you don't believe in the state of Missouri?
No, that's their on their license plate.
Oh,
I'll believe it when I see it.
That's not what it is.
What do you think it is?
Missouri. What is Missouri? It's not. I'll believe it when I see it.
Have one of your.
What is it, Mike? Show me state.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's just different wording.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, I'll believe it when I see it is not the same thing as the show me state.
Oh.
Yeah.
Show you it.
Uh-huh. Wait. Right, so. Yeah. I got enough of The Simpsons and Andy Kindler and Bob's Burgers and everything. This cult.
Yeah.
What is your cult called now? Serpent's Covenant?
The Serpent's Covenant.
Uh-huh.
Show it some respect.
Okay. And what is your title or ranking in this cult?
King, like I said earlier.
Oh. I thought you said your name was Ken.
You need to get the wiener out of your ear.
Uh-huh.
No. My legal name is King Mike the Overlord.
King Mike the Overlord.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you said your parents started it back in 84?
That's correct, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And when they died in that life raft explosion in 2000, my wife, Empress Janine, and I took over.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you, things were much simpler back then. You know, you found your flock, you befriended them, you fed them, you clothed them, you slowly wore them down to an emotional nub, and then you made them do your bidding while throwing them alternate scraps of praise and humiliation. I long for those days.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of upsetting. That's really disturbing.
No, it's not. Oh, no.
What? What's wrong?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, Empress Janine just texted. She's leaving me.
Uh-huh.
She said she's taking our children, Prince Skylar and Princess Madison, with her.
Okay, so this is why you've been so sad?
Yes.
That's why you wanted to hear crying?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, King, I gotta say, it's a little hard to feel sorry for you when you're basically like enslaving people to do your bidding.
Oh, like you've never claimed to be the Messiah and rewrote the Bible to suit your own needs.
I never have done that.
Oh. Hold on. Why do people do it?
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm looking here on, I just wikied Serpent's Covenant. The Serpent's Covenant, geez. Sorry. Serpent's Covenant is one of America's most long-standing and notorious religious cults. It was founded by Emperor Tim the Reckoner in 1984 and promises that members will be transformed upon the reckoning into giant snakes that will slither through outer space. This is called the Rebirth. Okay, here's controversy. The cult is infamous for its deceptive practices. Cult members are tricked and manipulated through a process called the transformation. Elements of the transformation include draining members of their finances and possessions and teaching them that their families are plague carriers that will infect future generations and prevent the rebirth from taking place. Does this all sound familiar to you, King?
Maybe.
Upon joining the cult, members are forced to wear a uniform consisting of flowing green and red robes, sandals, and headbands. Second-generation leader King Mike the Overlord, there's you, tried to get the members to wear rainbow-colored headbands, but this was ultimately rejected. So they rejected that?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to wear the rainbow-colored headbands?
Mm-mm.
That was your idea?
Mm-hmm.
And cult members spend their days tending to the gardens on the property. They're also tasked with the burden of building statues in the likeness of the leaders. Over the last few years, King Mike, the Overlord, you again, generated a project in which the followers would attempt to build a version of Philadelphia's Veterans Stadium, built to 1/200th scale. Nobody is sure why he wanted this built. Cult members who don't follow orders generally suffer the wrath of King Mike. Some of his methods include punishment includes spraying with a garden hose, making them mosh until one final member standing. These sessions can go on for hours. Ugh. Getting hit by a garbage cannon and the banned art of slap fighting. If the members don't fall into line, it is rumored King Mike takes the cult members to the toilet room. Ugh. While there is no documentation of this room actually existing, it's supposedly a room with a giant toilet as its centerpiece. King Mike constantly flushes the members over and over until they go down the drain. Oh my god. Rumored weapon is a subset here. It is rumored King Mike has constructed a medieval torture rack he calls the People Puller. People Puller? Ugh. To keep his subjects' hearts pure. Like the toilet room, its existence has not been verified. Wow.
Yeah, wow is right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Again with the wiki page. I'm sick of dealing with this, okay?
Uh-huh. You're sick of dealing with the wiki page?
Yes, yeah. I mean, who writes this stuff? Uh-huh. One. Just to address a couple of these things. There's no toilet room, okay?
Okay.
That's sick, and I will sue you and anyone else who mentions it again, all right?
A toilet? Who mentions that there's a toilet room?
Yes. B, those people love me, and it was their idea to build the statues, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially the one of me fully aroused throwing a discus while on Empress Janine.
Yeah, I had to bleep you there.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah.
Say it again if you'd like.
No, that's all right, King Mike.
Okay. Also, the rainbow headbands.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a real blow.
I admit that, yeah.
They looked great.
You thought they looked great.
I thought they looked really good. Kind of like a reggae vibe to it. It's almost like the Houston Astros 1970s uniform cross with reggae sunsplash.
Hmm. Yeah. That does sound kind of...
Doesn't it?
Kind of sharp.
Very, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the Vet Stadium thing, that's true.
Uh-huh.
I just thought it would be a neat thing to look at.
Of like a miniature, but not that miniature.
No, yeah.
Version of Veterans Stadium.
Something a child could play with, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I thought it would look cool, and you know what?
Yeah.
It did look cool.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There's no people puller, all right? I don't know where that came from. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I running, the Spanish Inquisition or something?
Uh-huh.
It's like, nobody expects that, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Nobody expects what?
No one expects that someone like me would be running a Spanish Inquisition style anything, I guess, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I would hope nobody would be running one.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess some people are, but, yeah, can I ask you about the other things that were in that wiki thing? Like,
sure, yeah.
Taking people's money and savings and separating them from their families and...
Yeah, right. I'll tell you what, though. If she goes to one of the other Newbridge cults, I'm going to fling myself off the top of the Newbridge Outer Space Needle. And that's like a plummet of like 120,000 feet, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty high. Wait. I did not know there were other cults in Newbridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's at least 50 of them.
How did I not know about this?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, there's the Clan of Jacob, the Unification, the Blurred Crusade, the Brunch Davidians, Children of Thornok, the Hologram of Baal, the Movement, the Order of the Golden Ray, Priest Equals Aura, Communion of the Seventh Circle, the Unguarded Moment, to name just two.
Mm-hmm. Well, you named way more than two.
Okay.
There, but
you know, you would know all about this if you read Cult Leader Monthly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a division of Condé Nast.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you hear that they bought Pitchfork?
That Condé Nast bought Pitchfork. I did hear that.
Yeah, yeah. There must be a lot of hiking shoe companies worrying about getting a 7.1 review that reads like an 8, right?
Uh-huh. Sure, I guess. I guess that's I don't know if that's really a concern for...
Well, it's kind of a joke, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to laugh.
Oh, so you were making... Okay.
It was a joke, yeah.
I can't get a handle on you, Cam.
Oh, I'll give you something to get a handle of.
Uh-huh. what was
right?
that? Yeah. No, I don't... I don't like you. I think I liked you better.
Oh, no!
Wait. What?
Oh,
what?
No! The remaining Serpentonians have stormed the mansion! Oh, no! This is like a scene from that Mark Wahlberg movie, This is the Bourne Facade, storming the Bastille.
Wait, what was it called?
It was called The Bourne Facade, Storming the Bastille.
Uh-huh. I think you're
so... Did you notice how they all got quiet all of a sudden?
Yeah. What, did you close a window or something?
I did, yes. Yeah, uh-huh. They're still making their way up, though. I might open that window soon. You never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, those are pretty good windows, I got to say.
They are.
If Larry David was talking about those windows...
Right.
He'd probably say they were...
Can I do it, please?
Sure.
Or do you want to do it?
No,
you do one and I'll do another one.
King Mike the Overlord? Is that what it is? You
yes.
Go ahead, King Mike the Overlord.
These windows are pretty, pretty, pretty thick.
Mm, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Your impression.
Yeah, well, I'm going to open up that window right now.
Okay.
Oh, no!
What?
Oh, my God, they're barging up. They're really coming up here.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Oh, no.
What?
I lied. There is a people puller.
Okay.
Yeah, I use it frequently and with great relish.
Uh-huh.
That's an odd sentence, and I'm utterly embarrassed that it'll be the last one that I speak.
Okay.
Well, anyway, they brought the rack up with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, no, come on, please, no. Oh.
Well, they're quiet again, so I don't think it's... Oh, there
it is. Oh, no! Oh, my God, no! Oh! Oh, no! Oh, oh my God, it hurts so bad. Hey, before I succumb to the delicious irony of being killed by one of my own inventions... You know about music, right?
I know about music? Yes, yes.
Oh! Hey, I heard this Bee Gees song on the radio the other day, but I can't find... Ow! On iTunes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It goes a little bit like this. Ah! Oh, girl, I asked for your hand in marriage, but not a baby in a carriage. So that's why I'm sneaking out of our apartment in the middle of the night, never to return, never to return again.
I have never heard that Bee Gees song.
Oh, you can go follow a phone book. Oh, I'm slipping away. The rebirth is nigh.
King? Oh, wow. That was a crazy one, Mike. Huh? How about that? Threw you for a little bit of a loop there, huh, bro? Oh, yeah, your Mike's going to go toward that. Oh, that's great. That's great news. That's just... That's where they get you, Mike. You're going to go toward it. So, yeah, I'm going to put this picture up of Sharpling and Worcester. First of all, Sharpling and Worcester live in Durham, North Carolina. This Saturday, don't miss it. Motor Co. Tickets are selling fast. It is close to selling out. And don't be outside looking in, man. And it's probably the last time we're doing the live show we've been doing. I think, we're going to be doing it for a year or so. Less than a year. We'll wrap it up. And I'm going to put this picture up of... let's put this up here. Hold on. This. Putting it on Twitter. You can check it out in a matter of seconds. Where is this? Come on. Come on, feet. Remember that song? Come on, feet. The great Quasimodo. Here we go. Put that there. Ah! Hey, Dudio. I'm going to email you a link. Can you reduce the size of some of these things so I can post one on social media? All right. Sending it to Dudio. Dudio's an all right guy. I like Dudio. I like Mike. I like Pat Byrne. Everybody works on this show is great. Jonah Ray leave? He left, huh? He left? Come on back in, buddy. Come on back in. I want to tell everybody, my friend Pat Byrne, he's one of the producers of this show. He does a show on WFMU called Prove It All Night. And he's got a live, this is a live show, right, Pat? This Saturday. If you're in North Carolina, you go see Sharpling and Worcester live. If you're in New York or New Jersey, you go see Prove It All Night live. Pat's show this Saturday, 9 p.m. It's only $5 to get in over at the WFMU performance space over on Montgomery, 43 Montgomery. His guests include Aparna Nancherla, very funny. Dan Chamberlain. See, funny? Very funny. My Teenage Stride. Music from My Teenage Stride. That's a great show. Check it out this Saturday. If you are in the New York, New Jersey area, you check that out. What's up, bro? Welcome back.
Thanks. That was a crazy caller.
That was nuts, right?
Yeah, that was really crazy.
It's a weird world out there, Jonah Ray. Never know what you're going to get.
Right? Yeah, I did not expect that. The unifying sound of his detractors.
Yes,
was,
they were.
They
mobilized.
Were on cue. They were, stopped on a dime.
They were mobilized.
Yeah.
Sometimes people can rise up, and someday they will rise just like they're cheering you on now. They will rise up against you. You will be outside. You will be in the Nerdist headquarters, and you'll look. You'll see nerds all gathered down there, right? But what if you guys get attacked by geeks?
Oh, I fear of dorks mainly is my...
Dorks?
Yeah.
Well, what if the geeks and the dorks...
United?
Unite.
Well, that's a prophecy that I don't think would ever come to pass. I imagine that just a bunch of Andy Kindlers just show up.
And then what would that be? That would be Hardwick gets like boiling oil and pours it off the roof onto them. Does he have some sort of boiling oil cauldron ready to go?
I've never seen his place.
A giant vat?
Yeah.
No, it's the headquarters, the HQ.
Oh, the HQ.
Nerdist HQ.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a boiled gack. It's boiled Nickelodeon gack. We have some Zand and smud. Okay. That we heat up and throw at people.
And you guys are what? Above the Hustler Superstore out on Sunset? Is that what you guys are?
No, Seven Veils.
Okay. One time, did you overhear me? One time I was driving down Sunset, and I was driving through West Hollywood, best part of Los Angeles, West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I was driving past the Hustler Superstore, and outside... at one of their umbrellas, because they have like a little coffee shop.
Yeah, cafe. It
was literally Ron Jeremy sitting, drinking coffee, which is the most cliched thing imaginable. Him showing up. He's like, he wakes up. He's like, I think I want coffee. And then he's like, where should I go? Oh, I'll go get some at the Hustler Superstore.
It has nothing to do with the pornography,
yeah.
But more to do with the way they roast the beans.
Exactly.
Do you think he has some copies of his old movies like on the table and someone's like, I'm sorry. Well, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are you the guy on the box?
Yeah.
Except almost dead?
What? Oh, I guess that's me. They must have been in the store like saying – hey, Dudio,
yeah.
Can you do me a favor and just send me the first picture of that batch?
Yeah, I just signed that one, too.
Okay, because that's the one I want to put up.
Do you think...
Don't worry, Dudio.
Do you think the baristas at the Hustler Cafe know his order by now?
Yes. Well, I would say yes to that, and I'll ask you, do you think the baristas at... There are baristas there who are just like, yes, I happen to work at the Hustler Superstore, but I am a barista. I'll work anywhere. It just happens to be a place where 2 feet away from me are just piles of pornography.
I think that a lot about theme parks or Disneyland, where it's like, where do you work? Well, I work at Disneyland. Oh, what do you do? Are you an announcer? Are you a tour guide? Do you work at Ohana Mansion? No. I'm on rollerblades picking up trash in Tomorrowland.
Yes, and they are. But they are, that is what it takes to believe and keep going, right?
I think so.
You know what it's like.
Well,
maybe you don't, actually, because everything seems to pretty much be going your way.
Did you? Right now.
You're skating. You're skating in the best pod. Not skating like you're taking it easy, but it's just... It's just clicking into place. You're like a Lego, right? You're like a Lego Millennium Falcon. It's all clicking into place.
Well, I've been working for a while.
You have. I don't fault you. You work hard. You work hard. Yeah. I'm not saying you didn't get anything you didn't deserve. You deserve everything that's happening for you. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Rather it be you than some of these other drips.
Who do you hate most right now?
I don't hate anybody.
Who would you like if the character of Tom? Who would you hate most right now?
The character of Tom.
Yes, which means your id.
Who do I hate? I really anybody who's doing stuff. I'm just doing my own thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
I know this is a thing that isn't for everybody.
You know a lot of people, you know a lot of the indie rock folks. Do you think Mac from Merge is stewing over what, Ian at, Discord's doing, and Ian's stewing over what dude from Matador's doing, and so on and so forth?
No, I don't think so. I think people, if they're doing it, they're really just doing their thing.
Do you like to think that, like,
people? I joke around with stuff.
Yeah.
I truly, all jokes aside, either you're here to do stuff or to complain about stuff. And I think I'm doing stuff. I built this thing. I work. I'm doing stuff.
Yeah. That's I just all. Want to hear you say it. Well, this is going to be a long, quiet drive back to my hotel.
No, it's not. You're going to be sad that when I finally let you out. But look at this.
Whoa! So wait, you're allowed to put that out?
I was officially allowed to put it out.
Now. Which one's you?
That one, the one without the beard. That's John. That's me.
Oh, so they didn't design them after you.
Well, John's got facial hair.
Sure.
So, and I don't, and my character doesn't. So.
What do you guys, I mean, did you go out there? Did you go to LA to do it?
We did the whole deal. Yeah.
Have you talked about it yet?
No, I really don't want to talk about it. But they wrote something just for us, and we did it, and it's on March 13th.
So it's a big time showbiz thing, some kind of dream come true for you. It's flippant; you could throw it away.
Yeah,
man, it must be nice. To voice on an iconic cartoon and then just be like, I don't want to feel.
So look, I'll just say this: the Bob's, you had your shot, Bob's Burgers. Doors closed now.
Did you hear Andy Kindler's taking over for every voice on that show?
Andy Kindler just wrote on Twitter about you.
I'm sure he did.
He wrote, Jonah Ray stole his insecurity from my act. I was a nerd while he was still in Star Wars pajamas. Andy Kindler is the funniest guy. Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Lawson from Atlanta.
What's up, Lawson?
I love the topic, but first I just wanted to give a quick shout out because I'm very excited to be going to the show in Durham.
Oh, you're going to have a great time. It's going to be fun. Lots of surprises and laughs galore. Get ready.
Oh, I am so excited. I got a whole little road trip planned. It's going to be a fun time.
Good.
But I wanted to say I'm going because there was another listener who was kind enough who he bought tickets and he was unable to go. And so I posted on Facebook if anyone would want them. And so I just wanted to give a shout-out to Usman in Austin, Texas, for being a great guy and giving me those tickets.
That's awesome. That's very nice.
And also to Caroline in Athens, who's a dear friend of mine, who saw he posted that and let me know about it so we can set it up. So it's two fans of yours where you give a shout-out to because of them, I get to see you live. And I'm very, very excited for it.
That's awesome. I look forward to you being there.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
It is.
Also, I wanted to be a character witness for Jonah here.
Okay. You know Jonah?
I met Jonah. I had the pleasure of meeting Jonah about 2 years ago in Athens, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing a show there.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that Jonah was on my dumb radio show I had at the time.
Yeah.
And for a full 45 minutes, he was able to contain his horrible potty mouth.
He did it for you. Couldn't do it for me.
You are on terrestrial radio, friend.
That's right.
Well, look. I like Joan. I don't know why people think I don't like him. He wouldn't be here if I didn't like him. He wouldn't be here.
That was a fun. You have a good radio show, friend.
Oh, thank you. It's a podcast now. I'll be coming back pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to it coming back, bro. Thanks for the call. Best show. Sorry, I'm not going to turn. This guy's going to start talking about my show. What is this, the Oscars? He's thanking this one for giving the tickets, thanking that one for telling. It's like we got to give him some playoff music, play him off the stage. What's up, Best Show? You're on the Best Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Ryan.
Ryan, where are you calling from?
I'm from Georgia. I'm from Southeast Georgia.
Nice.
I have, like the caller before, I have a celebrity story that takes place in Athens. Of a celebrity, like a Patti Smith in the elevator.
Yes. Did you hear my Patti Smith story in the elevator where I ran into her in the elevator? I don't want to talk about it. I talked about it. There's no shortage of places you can find it. So what do you got? What was yours? Let me see if I can guess. Give me a hint. Charlie Daniels.
Go ahead.
You ran into Charlie. You ran into the Willie Nelson's harmonica player, Mickey.
No.
No. Give me a hint.
All right. They've been on your show before.
So was it a band?
Oh, no. I was being gender neutral.
Okay.
Be vague. Okay.
So who was it?
I went to, so my parents decided to go to the football spring game because they like college football. I'm kind of on your side that I think it's kind of lame.
College sports? College.
Yeah.
Shut it down. Shut them all down.
Yeah.
Shut it all down. Right, Mike? Yeah. Look, I'm not watching some college movie. Like, oh, watch this movie that college kids made. That's the last movie I'd want to see. Oh, wait, let's go see this stand-up comedian. Oh, they're all in college. Okay. No. Oh, but these college sports, why is that better? You watch them play. And it's the worst play you've ever seen in your life, and they're doing it for free, and they're propping up these creep coaches. These coaches all have $5 million deals. Shut it down. Shut it all down. Reboot America.
That's a great idea.
So who'd you run into?
I decided to go to Luxtree's, which is the record/comic shop, mm-hmm. and it was so hot, and I have I'm kind of nervous, I'm kind of a nervous person, and I walked in and I saw somebody. I saw two very nice looking men in their 30s, mm-hmm. and I was like, "That guy looks a lot like John Hamm."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Well, there's no way that it's John Hamm."
Yeah,
and then I looked close and I was like, "Oh, that's definitely John Hamm." And the guy with him was Paul Rudd.
Okay,
and then I also saw Joe Latruglio from Brooklyn Nine-Nine there.
Sure,
and. A guy was talking to Joe Latruglio, and he was just like doing this like awful thing. He was like, "Hey, how's it going? Ah, great weather in Athens." And Joe Latruglio was being a very nice guy. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I decided I wanted to talk to John Hamm because I'm big into Mad Men. And I just saw I listened to his interview on Pete Holmes' podcast, mm-hmm. and I walked up to him and I just said, "Hey, I heard your interview on Pete Holmes," and he said, "Oh, I wasn't on Pete Holmes," and I was like, "Yeah, you were," and he was like, "Oh yeah, Pete Holmes, good guy," and then he just took off, stayed away from me, went to the other side of the record store, uh-huh. and then I just watched Paul Rudd, and I was like, I can't even be here anymore
because
I'm too much of a nervous person. Yeah. And then they left, and later I left, and I was walking down the street, and I saw them with a group, and I was like, "No, they already think I'm like a creep." So I walked the other way, and I was crossing the street, and I saw a guy next to me, and it was Jonah Ray, and I said, "Oh, it's very nice to meet you," but we were walking on a crossroads, so I just kept walking, and I heard behind me. It's very nice to meet you too. Mm-hmm. And as mortifying as the Jonah Hamm story is, mm-hmm. Jonah made me feel better. So
that's
thanks,
nice.
Jonah.
Yeah, Pete Holmes, nice guy.
So you burnt You burnt it with John Hamm.
Right.
You flopped right in front of him. Right.
Yeah, and then I creeped out Paul Rudd because I watched him and he had nice record.
Yeah. Yeah, you were going for the hat trick, right?
Yeah.
You were going for the hat trick.
That was,
right.
And then Jonah was but the thing you don't know is Jonah's probably following those guys too. He was probably skulking 20 feet behind Paul Rudd.
You know who else was in town that weekend? Andy Kindler. Did you run into him? Was he nice to you?
I'm afraid of Andy Kindler. He's a
afraid you won't recognize him?
Yeah. Maybe he'll come up to me and be like, "Hey, don't you recognize me?"
Yeah, he'll come up to you. Sure. Okay. Thanks for the call. Best show.
How's it going, Tom?
Oh, it's going great. I know who this is already.
What's up, Jono?
Hello. This. Why don't you throw this guy? Throw. Let's see. This guy who's on the line right now, JonahRay.com, at JonahRay. How many times have you won at midnight, by the way? Because you would go on that, and it seemed like it was like you were going on almost like the – you were like the Tony Clifton of At Midnight, where you were like, I'm above the game. Like you were just there to goof.
Yeah, I'd rather goof than win. I'm not very competitive. I've won twice.
You're not competitive. You're super competitive.
I know I'm not.
Now, this guy on the line right now is from Hawaii. He's from Honolulu. Fred from Honolulu. And Fred has been saying, I think I'm fair in saying that he thinks you are not from Hawaii. Right, Fred? Fred thinks you saw the Descendants, and you're confabulating that into being from Hawaii. Yeah. That you saw you bought the Descendants on Blu-ray. Yeah. So
I could really see what it's like to be there.
Yeah. Because I thought that was a real slice of Hawaiian life, showing those native Hawaiians like Beau Bridges and George Clooney.
Yeah.
And Matthew Lillard?
He shows up in there. Yeah, but he's not part of that family.
You know those Hawaiians like Rob Rob Hubel. Is he in it, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
Both barrels. Go at him.
Come on.
Get him. You said you wanted to get him.
So oh, get Fred. Him. You trying to call me one Holly?
Bro, this guy, he big time me when he came to the Chris Gethard show. He wouldn't even talk to me.
Oh, Fred, what are you trying to say?
Well, I'm going to say this first of all. Don't curse. He's good.
I'm not cursing.
He's going to bring you to that point.
I won't.
I don't want you to, because you'll suddenly go, hey, man, I'm blah, blah, blah. And you go, I'm effing blah, blah, blah. And you won't even realize you did it.
I won't, though.
Okay.
Because I'm speaking pidgin.
Okay. So go ahead. Let's get a full on.
Come on, one fika. What are you trying to tell me? I ain't from Hawaii, brother. The kind. You not from Hawaii.
See, Fred is ready to barf when he hears this. Fred.
What high school you go? What high school you go, Fred?
You're going to.
What? Punahou. What, yeah. Like one Barack you, Obama? You went Punahou, brah.
Didn't you go to Kaimuki, brah? Like,
nah, not even, brah. St. Louis Kailua? Got kicked out, went to Kalahale. Yeah, Kailua. Brah, don't even.
Hey, Fred.
What's up, man?
Fred, let me just ask you something.
How's
it,
man?
Is what Joan is doing, is it super authentic and cool, or is it... the most offensive thing I've ever heard. You tell me. Fred. I don't know. I don't have the context.
I remember. I went to see Jonah when he, I think he, like, middled for Doug Benson at Pipeline. Did you do that? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah. I bombed in front of Doug Benson.
You did not bomb.
Thank you so much. I was fishing. Thank you.
No. He was very angry. And his roots.
Yeah. Here's the thing. My dad is, my real last name, Rodriguez. I'm Portuguese, half Portuguese. Mm-hmm. My family's been in Hawaii a very long time. When I'm doing that voice, Tom, mm-hmm. Yeah. it's like an impression of my dad.
Because I said I have no context. I honestly was not judging it. I have no context.
You prejudged.
But I'm not going to be somebody to just, I was asking Fred, who he is pretty proud of being, from Hawaii.
Yeah.
He didn't bolt when he was 19 and.
Oh, Fred, what do you do now?
I work for a startup.
Startup like what? Yeah. Startup what?
Wait,
huh?
You work at a startup called the Chris Gethard Show.
Nah.
Not even.
So wait, Jonah big timed you when he was on the Gethard show?
I'm joking. I'm joking. He was very nice. We talked about it turned out we went to the same Power Man 5000 Static X.
Right, show. I didn't go to it. I worked it. Sold merch.
You worked it.
Yeah, uh-huh. I opened up a duffel bag full of their rubber jumpsuits, uh-huh. and it knocked me on my ass.
Okay.
It's a word you said twice.
I'm letting it go.
You said that word twice.
Did I say a thing? Oh, God. Now, Fred.
How's it, man?
How are you doing, buddy? I'm seeing all these pictures of you on Instagram. It's like you're, it's like Night at the Museum 4. What are you, working in a museum now?
I'm in D.C. My buddy is an immigration officer. He works out here, so he has like a furnished apartment. So I've never been to D.C.
Okay.
It was a really weird thing happened, and I didn't tweet it. I don't know if it's even appropriate, but I'll bring it up. Like, I went to the Holocaust Museum, and like, it's like moving. Like, it's crazy sad.
Sure.
And you're like, I was like crying on the third floor. Okay. And then one of the weirdest things happened with me is like, there was this like teenager, like a teenage goth with his like mom. And he was like not having it.
Not having it that what? You were moved?
No.
Or not having it at the museum. He was not into.
He was not like, he was being like a teenager. He didn't want to be like, next to his mom would come up and like point stuff out, and he like wanted to be left alone. Like, it was so weird, and I was like trying not to laugh. It's like, why are you being such a teenager right now?
Okay, well, Fred, look, apparently you're saving the good stuff for Gethard now. So, that's how that works. Apparently, we get the. We get the table scraps over here now.
Wow.
Gethard gets the top shelf material. You bring the leavens over to the best show.
Wow. All right.
All right, bud. Like, you know I love you, Fred.
I love you too, Tom.
You take care. Say something nice to Jonah.
Jonah, you're the man, dude. I remember watching MST3K getting ready for church. And I never got to finish it because my mom hated it so much.
Now, are you proud of Jonah? Are you proud of this guy repping Hawaii?
He doesn't really rep Hawaii, but yeah, of course. Like, I'm not going
to. Whoa. How am I supposed to, in your opinion, how am I supposed to rep Hawaii?
I'm joking.
You got to be like Fred, where every article of clothing has the area code on it.
You got to wear a BJ Penn hat everywhere you go.
Yeah. Have a jang.
All right, Fred. We'll talk. Have a
good night, man.
Aloha kayaka.
Okay. Jonah Ray, so funny, so talented, good guy. The beer thing is just in the rear view. It didn't even happen anymore.
No,
I think you never have to bring it up again.
It only made our friendship stronger.
Yes, exactly, because it gives a funny thing to goof around about.
We have a nice goof about when we're out and about.
Exactly. Yes, we have a nice goof about now. Best show.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Who's this?
This is Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex.
Oh, this is a guy who's from Toronto. And how did it come about? He broke up with someone. And he played, if I remember the story correctly, he did it in a restaurant. And he had the restaurant play the song Sex Dwarf by Soft Cell. As background music. Am I getting it right?
Yeah, I think you're pretty much dead on.
So he has been labeled now. Every time he has to call, he has to identify himself as Toronto's Sex Dwarf Alex. Okay, Mike, thanks. Mike is doing his own show out there, apparently. God knows what he's up to. So what's up, Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex?
Well, I'm just having a... hanging out with a friend of mine, Katie, whose birthday it is. She's a big fan of the show.
Happy birthday, and, Katie.
Katie, you got it, yeah.
Yeah.
She, we were just talking about the show, and you know, there was a little lull in the conversation, and I stepped outside, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll call the show, see what's going on.
Wait, a lull in whose conversation?
In the overall party conversation, not anyone specific.
All right. Look, Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex. You know I like you, buddy. I felt bad when we played live, and then I started goofing on you from the. It was not a cool move, and I was worried about your how you were taking it. but you're a good guy.
Oh, no. No.
Everybody's cool. Everybody's cool. Everybody gets along. That's all. You know I got your back, buddy.
Toronto's, you know, Toronto's the easygoing place. Canadians, we're very easygoing. You don't have to worry about us.
Yeah, you don't. I love it. I'd move to Toronto in a heartbeat. Toronto is awesome.
So, I was remembering the other day, I was on Yonge Street.
Okay.
If I recall, you have a story about watching two men go at it on Yonge Street at some point, like
yes,
fighting each other.
With a bat. Yeah.
Where the one guy has the bat and then he takes it, or the other guy then takes the bat from the guy who has the bat.
He wrested the bat from him and then started hitting the one guy had a bat and he's swinging it at this other guy. They're fighting on the street. And then the other guy managed to, like, get the bat under his arm and get the bat away. It's like, that's when you're just like, that's when you have to be like, I am so sorry I was swinging a bat at you. Because
right,
the
how
last thing
can you apologize?
The last thing you're expecting is, this bat I'm hitting with you, you will be hitting me with it shortly. And I might have kind of been hitting you with it, but you are going to womp me with that bat when, so.
Yeah. I think about that a lot. I think about, what if one day I'm, the problem will be if somebody comes at me with a bat, I'll have to be like, wait, this reminds me of what happened to Tom when he was in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then while I'm thinking about, you know, sort of remembering that story, I'm going to end up getting clobbered.
Well, time slows down when you're in a bad fight. All right, we got to move on. How do you say goodnight?
Well, I say goodnight by saying, this is Toronto Sex Dwarf Alex signing off.
Yeah, very good. Mike told me go to line four. Mike said that it's go to the celebrity hotline on line four. And I'm being told a big name is on the line. Best show.
That's me, right?
Hello?
Is that me?
It is you.
No.
To whom am I speaking?
It's Andy Kindler. I can't be the celebrity. Come on. At my level?
No, it is you.
Really?
Andy Kindler, the guy.
Thank you.
The guy who is the face of Los Angeles comedy, pretty much.
Oh, you just named me the mayor of the face of Los Angeles comedy. Oh, God, it's over for me. That's the last attempt at humor. That's my last ad-lib. That's my last ad-lib.
Now, you and Jonah Ray. Jonah Ray is in studio. How do you guys get along?
I am responsible for Jonah Ray's career. He probably doesn't remember this.
Wait, so you're the one?
I am the one.
Uh-huh.
He probably does not remember this, but I hosted an episode of Live at Gotham that he was on. This is our longest running joke. We do it every time we see each other. We call each other at home and do it. And it's only funny to us.
It's only funny to us. Not even funny to other people that were on that show. One of them being, what's the one, the most famous person from that show now?
Andy Kindler. Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Now, wouldn't saying you started Jonah Ray's career being like, yeah, I know that fire that burned out like 135 acres of, yeah, that was me. Like, I started that.
I'm proud of what I've done with you.
Like, you should be. That was a trap. I set a trap for you. You gave the right question. You didn't sell out your buddy Jonah.
Yeah. Andy was the rat that the Black Plague of me came upon.
He was. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, they made the mistake in the plague of killing the cats and dogs. These are one of the two or three facts I know.
Wow, this is...
Am I still there?
Where'd you learn? Did you... Now, Andy...
Is this how it's made? This isn't how it's made?
How it's made. That's that show. That's a very L.A. reference. We don't have that here.
Yes, you do.
How it's made? What is that?
It's on the Science Channel, where they show you how things are made.
Mm-hmm.
And then they describe, like, you know, hey, I wonder how a gumball machine works.
Yeah.
Haven't you wondered that?
Mm-hmm.
And then a half hour later, you're turning to HGTV. This isn't from my routine or from an interesting part of my mind or.
Hey, Andy, somebody here wants to talk to you.
Let's do it.
Not Jonah.
I hope it's not.
That was not Gary. Holy Christ.
Andy!
Oh, my God.
Kindler! Kindler!
It's so great to hear you.
This is how bad comedy is made. Get it?
I don't get that, really. How is bad comedy made? Me and you? Or
no,
general?
You put you in a factory.
Are you saying they broke the mold when they made me because it was defective? Gary, I'm working with you, Gary. Come on. I'm Bud Abbott. You, Luke Costello, me.
Andy Kindler at the Comedy Store. Laugh off. Get it?
You mean it's a store where they sell comedy, but it's half off?
Yeah. Going out of business.
Hey, come on down to the Comedy Store before it goes out with the going out of business sale. And who better to end comedy than Andy Kindler?
It's exciting, though. Jerry! What up?
Hey, Gary.
What's
don't
up?
Look directly into Gary's eyes.
Hook me up, bro. You're hot.
No, I can't help.
Hook me up.
I can barely get my brother a PA job. I have no pull.
Hook me up.
What do you want to do?
Come on.
Meltdown!
You want to work on Meltdown?
Yeah, wait. Meltdown, that describes Billy Crystal's face.
Hey, Gary, did you hear that, who's that guy, Josh Gad, he said that Billy Crystal was an encyclopedia of comedy, but what he didn't say, it was a 1956 world book.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. It's a good one.
You get it? It's a world book, Gary.
Yeah.
World book.
Yeah. Good. Good one. Hey, Jonah, hook me up. Get me on Meltdown.
You want to perform on Meltdown?
No, get rid of your co-host.
Well, he's the reason the show's on the air.
Not when I'm on. Meltdown with Jonah and Gary.
Be careful. Gary destroyed my relationship with Bob Odenkirk. So be careful, Jonah.
Yeah, that's what did it. Yeah, blame it on that. Yeah. I think that Emmy nod might have helped break up that pairing.
I went out of my way. I called in all of my chits, whatever they call them, to get Bob Odenkirk on the Gary show. And,
talking nuts. It was Breaking Bad Bo show. Talking nuts. No, breaking nuts. Breaking nuts.
Busting nuts?
No, it's breaking, because it's Breaking Bad, stupid. Busting. Oh, God.
With that kind of attitude, I don't see why I would put you on the Meltdown.
So Odenkirk called. Kindler cashed all his chits. And it flopped. He was calling from an Arby's. He really blocked out some time. Took it seriously. In-N-Out, was it In-N-Out Burger? Why do you LA people love burgers so much? Oh, did you go to Umami Burger?
I did because it's savory. You know what it's like out here? It's like Happy Days.
It's the fifth flavor. Umami.
Oh, is that what it is? I don't like any restaurant where you go in.
And don't take a tray to get your food?
Well, no, they say, have you been here before? That's the kiss of death. Then they're going to ask you a whole, they go through a whole umami speech.
When you go to a restaurant, they say, you've been here before. It's this guy again. And you're like, oh yeah, you know me as Andy Kindler. And they're like, no, you're the guy who boosts the napkins.
Yes.
We call you Napkin.
I am the guy who you hear loudly say, they're not going to miss this sweet and low, boom, in the pocket.
Yeah, you're boom. Like, yeah, that's right, it's me, Andy Kindler. And they're like, no, we just call you Napkin.
And you know, they kicked me out for yelling, oh, mommy, very loud at Umami. That was my joke.
Wait, which one was?
Hey, Jonah!
Kimmer's got a question!
One at a time.
Okay, I was in a comedy team. Did you know I was a comedy team, Jonah?
No, I didn't know that.
When he started
When I started out, I told Gary about it. I said to Gary that I was in a comedy team. It was the comedy team of Andy and Bill. And then Gary asked me,
which one were you?
Then what'd you say, Andy?
I said nothing because I was laughing. Because that's the thing. He always roasts
the ones I love.
Exactly.
I have never made fun of a little person. I only make fun of big people. And everyone listening tonight, you are all big, big people.
Except for this Mexican guy over here. Like that?
Rickles!
What's that?
Rickles!
Rickles, that's right.
Hey, Jonah!
Another comic.
Hook
yelling
me up.
Out the name of another comic.
Gary, what do you want?
Get me on Mr. Sunset. Put me in that gumball costume.
Yeah, but no, but that's that's a robot. That's Tom Servo. You can't play. You're not a trained puppeteer.
Oh my! There's a squirrel on the spaceship now. It's that easy.
Okay, how to get there? How did you get there then?
How did the gumball get there?
Because I built it. That's the whole thing. The Joel built.
Man, you left the ship door open and squirrel ran in.
Wait, then how did you get into space?
How'd you get into space?
I was sent up there.
So
by
was
some
I.
With who sent you up there?
The captain.
Which captain?
Captain Reynolds.
Hey, you two.
It's all fake, stupid. I can make all of it up.
You're regular Nichols and Nichols over there.
Thanks. Hey, Kindler. What tour dates do you have coming up?
Oh, you killed. Thank God for asking me. I have at AndyKindler.com, which has not changed in many years, under the calendar, you will see I'm going everywhere. Liquid Lab. Am I going to Liquid Labs in Boise? Yes. Do I have a couple of other dates?
Boy.
Yes.
Liquid Labs?
In Boise.
Get ready.
Evanston. I'm going to Hey, Evanston. I'm coming your way, Evanston.
Look out, Evanston. Andy Kindler's on his way.
Better get some rest from laughing.
What else?
I host my own show. Gary, I would love to have you. And Jonah, I need you to be on it, too.
What's
it
called?
I'd love Gary to be on Andy Kindler's particular show once a month at Meltdown. Next show, Monday, March 14th.
Ooh!
I'm learning to talk sing-song.
Who's on the bill?
I don't. Melinda Cashner is on the bill. Everybody. And
wow.
Then I have some star. You met. You didn't meet Melinda Cashner, but Tom did. And then there's other people too. I can never remember anything, but there's always star stuff. We had Zach Galifianakis on the last
show. Ooh!
Eat your heart out
from Baskets. Baskets!
That's right.
Just got picked up, season two.
I enjoyed that show. Martha Kelly's on that show, who Jonah Ray also knows. Yes.
Why don't they put you on it?
Because Zach wants me, he told me that it would be better if I made it on my own.
Are you going married? Are you doing married?
I did three, I'm going to be on, I think, three episodes of the new season of Marin.
And who do you play?
I play Andy.
It's a stretch.
Yeah. I saw the one where you were buying like a fishing hat or something.
Well, you know, I was in one with Jonah Ray.
Oh, that's right. Record store, Clark One.
No, I gave myself a name.
Record store, Clark One, audience zero. Get it! Get it! So fast I am, Kindler!
I got it.
Quickest draw in the West! Put me on the show!
Which
Meltdown!
Meltdown. What are you going to do on Meltdown?
Replace Kumail.
We can't. He, like I said, he's the reason the show is even a show.
Man, we could get rid of him.
What are you trying to say?
Gary,
what are you proposing?
We'll split the money.
Like, get rid of Kumail? Like,
give him the boot.
But how are we going to get rid of him?
I don't know.
He's a big part of the
show. Tell me X-Files is back and filming in Antarctica.
But how are we going to, that's so much coordinating. How are we going to convince him that that's happening? Gary, how are we going to do this?
You're going to get Gary mad.
Hey, Kim, get me on one of your shows.
That's easy. You're already on. You're permanently.
Get me on the particular show.
I would love to have you. When are you coming out here next to the Post, Gary? Do you have any rodent? Are you coming out for rodent pilot season?
Rodent?
What?
Rodent pilot season.
I was talking to my manager.
Are you talking about?
Milt Gorman.
Milt Gorman.
Milt.
I read his book.
Milt Gorman.
Fantastic.
3-star entertainment. I called him again. You know what it picked up?
What's that?
It was a Chipotle. He said, new office number. I picked up and he goes, Chipotle, Milt speaking. And then I was like, oh boy, this is not good.
He can't even engineer his own fake story correctly.
You know what the good thing was?
What's that?
I got a burrito out of the deal.
Unlike most of your other jokes, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I know. Twists and turns. Like Tarantino! I'm like Tarantino!
You're like the terrible eight, the hate. The Ridiculous Six. Did you see the Adam Sandler movie on Netflix? There's 4 more coming out.
I tried to watch it. I hit play now, and you know what happened?
What happened?
Netflix said, seriously?
Netflix said, seriously?
And then you know what it did? It said, customers who have watched this also watched, and I hit play, and it was someone just shaking car keys. It was for 6 hours.
Oh, that is good. And even that.
Oh, that is good. Oh, jeez, thanks. I'm bringing it down! Bringing the house down! I'm showing everyone how it's done! Mystery Science Theater, no room for Gary. I'll do my own!
Gary.
You don't need.
I'm bringing my own show back.
Gary, I've been listening to some of your jokes, and you've wowed me. You got me. You're good. You're good. What do you say about actually taking over the meltdown on Comedy Central? Who are you going to choose to be your co-host? The meltdown with
too
Gary
old.
And who?
Too old.
Kindler! I want to take Kindler.
Kindler's too old. He's too old.
Let me think.
I'm on the Murder, She Wrote channel now.
Not like the MASH channel!
It's the same joke. I just use a different example.
I want to do some of my material. And this is not parallel. This is parallel thinking. Hey, anybody watch MASH? It's on all the time. They even got the MASH channel.
That's not the joke. The joke is you can get MASH on DVD now. You can also get on Channel 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, the Radar Network. MASH After Dark. MASH Digital. MASH Extreme. MASH True TV.
MASH!
Mash chicken mashala.
Mash shopping channel.
The mash shopping.
Good stuff, Kindler.
Cinemash. Cinemash.
And
that's only the movie.
It was a baby! It was a baby!
What's that from?
Mash!
Oh. the guy went up in the Colonel Hello Larry. His plane went down. His career went down.
I have a telegram to read here.
Yes.
I'm sorry to announce that Andy Kindler's career crashed.
Has crashed. There were no survivors.
Over the Sea of Japan. No survivors. Hey, Kindler.
Yeah.
We should, if I come down there, you put me up.
I got it. You got it. You call me when you get out here or have a human call me.
You got to pick me up at the airport. They'll hold the sign.
Yeah, absolutely. Take Squirrel Uber.
Squirrel Uber. Hey, you watch Real Rob yet?
The Rob Schneider TV show?
Yeah.
I've seen every episode.
It's good stuff.
It's real funny. It's almost as funny as dangling keys.
Shaking keys.
Shaking keys.
Dangling keys I wouldn't watch. But shaking keys?
I like how he puts his infant above the title. That show.
Shaking Keys, the movie.
Real Rob. I got really robbed of 3 hours of my life watching that.
Did you see Shaking Keys on a plane? That was great.
Real Rob is the only show that sends out four-year consideration for the Razzies. Get it?
For your inconsideration.
That's a bad award show.
Yeah.
Should I hang up on myself at some point?
No, keep going. Everyone can't get enough.
Aren't we into the half hour of power?
All right, I gotta hit the road.
He sounds so... Gary is famous for sounding depressed.
I'm watching Antenna. You watch Antenna TV, Kindler?
What's that?
Antenna TV.
Oh, and I have a show I have a new show on the Rabbit Ears channel.
Yeah. It's real hip, right?
Yeah.
Broken hip.
Hey, did you see my new show, Watching Paint Dry, on HGTV Stream? Hey, did you see my new show, A Watched Pot Will Eventually Boil? It's on the Why Not channel.
Melted Nuts, what about that?
What about that?
That's after we boot Kumail, we call Melted Nuts.
Melted Nuts with Gary and Jonah?
Gary and Jonah.
Okay, my name's first now. Can it still
be? Well, it's in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Look, it's not my fault that's the alphabet.
Gary, I think we're going to have to kind of do some shows together before we start taping the show.
All right, big guests tonight, big guests. Who we got? Ari Shaffir!
Ari Shaffir!
Hey, Kim, are you a Comedy Store guy? Or Laugh Factory?
No, I haven't. No, I'm not a Laugh Factory. The Laugh Factory is not my, first of all, any...
Catch! Catch!
I still play Catch.
You go to Catch!
I still play Catch. The Catch in Cambridge I play.
Catch!
Catch. Gary never made it out of the late 70s. With his references.
Sure I did. You're going to go see Maria Muldaur!
Hey, where's Reagan had his nose for the last 8 years or something like that?
Yeah, it's called the Bicentennial, babe. Look into it. Bowser!
You know the funniest?
So long, Kindler. Hook all me right, up, Jonah.
Okay, I should leave.
He's not here. Andy, he left. He left.
Oh, he left. Oh, boy, that was rough. He was on fire tonight. Yeah.
Yes. So, Andy, people can get your tour dates at andykindler.com.
Be less sarcastic, but that's true.
All right. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Tom. This was so much fun, and thanks for all the shout-outs tonight, and I'm sorry that I wasn't able to follow my own shout out.
All right. Well, you have a
I love
great.
You guys.
I love you too, Andy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Oh, Jonah Ray. Did you have fun?
I'm having a really good time.
Well, it's coming to an end, unfortunately. I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to say goodbye.
I hope it's Andy again.
Best show.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Jonah.
Hello.
This is Randall from Dallas.
Oh, Randall from Dallas. What's up, buddy?
I've got one for the best of the worst topic.
Best of the worst, worst of the best. What do you have?
Yes. So last week, one of these Alamo draft houses opened in Dallas, and so they had a soft open and were showing like hit movies from 2015 for a buck. So I finally got to see Furious 7 on the big screen.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
I fell out with those movies, not really in any kind of judgy way, but everything I've seen, it's always been dumb fun. Right?
Yeah.
They're a blast.
Yeah.
When I was up there last year, when my gallbladder burst and I was stuck in Jersey for a month,
mm-hmm.
like my friend that I was staying with and I were like, we should watch all of those. And I think we made it through the first four, which were awful. And then when I got back to Texas, I was like, I'll watch that fifth one. Maybe it'll be good. And I thought the fifth one was great. And then the sixth one, I was kind of like, I don't know about this. And then I kind of lost momentum for seeing the seventh, but the seventh one was great.
Then the eighth and ninth were, yeah, they were okay. But it was the 17th and 18th that really swung back.
Isn't it amazing that he announced like three final, like he's just like, we're only doing three more of these. Like, can you imagine this?
That's
only three, like, we've done seven. We're only doing three more. It's like the planning and the presumptuousness of just like, these next three are just going to be huge also.
I knew you thought these were going to last forever.
But this will only go on until 2021. this love affair with, and what's his character's name again? It's like Dom, I think.
Yeah,
right. I don't remember. I've seen two of them. They're great. They're great chase them up movies. If you're going in for anything more than that, then you are the one who's wrong.
Yes.
It's like, I mean, what are you going to do in the next one? At some point, you're going to have a car like drive through the earth. That's really the only thing that they haven't done.
Well, the one car went from one skyscraper to the next, right?
Yes. Yes. It's ridiculous, but I was on the edge of my seat. That movie is 2.5 hours long, and it seemed like it was 90 minutes.
At some point, the Fast and Furious movies will need to like meld with like Transformers movies and just be like, the cars are alive.
Yeah,
there's not a whole lot more we can do with these cars. They're actually robots.
Just a backwards projection to explain all the weird physics that happen in those movies.
Yeah, or you just exactly.
Turns out.
Just, we'll put a thing up on the web that explains it more.
It was the plan the whole time.
Yeah. And I think, I can just say, they can stop with these like Deadpool videos now, like he's still like doing video, like, here's why Deadpool won't host Saturday Night Live. It's like, Deadpool won't host Saturday Night Live. It's like, the movie made $500 million. You can stop pushing now.
Right, yeah, you don't have to do viral marketing anymore.
Yeah, the virus has been contained. The virus won. It infected America and the world.
It's like that one time.
See, now you're doing the... See, voice work like that, that's... Look, it's charming. Is it Simpsons level? I don't think, not.
I don't think it is. Almost literally because I'm doing a voice from another cartoon.
Yeah, but I'm saying that might cut it there. They might flip for that.
Yeah.
And be like, look, in case the creator of the show walks or whatever, we've got a plan B with Jonah Ray. We get him in.
All right, how about you teach me what it takes? What does it take to do a voice on The Simpsons?
I don't want to talk about this now.
No. Come on.
I can't.
It's pretty great.
Jonah, I want to say to you, in all seriousness, thank you for coming here.
Thanks
I do have to end the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, Randall, for calling. You have a great night.
You do the same.
There's nothing better than hanging up on someone partway through the phone. Even a great guy like that, the idea that he didn't get the word same out will makes me happy. At Jonah Ray on Twitter. Mm-hmm. JonahRay.com, is that the site?
Yeah.
You're on Nerdist once every 3 weeks.
About
when you're interviewing when you're sitting down with Hugh Jackman or like who have you talked to who you were freaked out? I'm sure Paul McCartney you were freaked out, right?
Yeah, Paul McCartney, Mel Brooks, mm-hmm. Tom Hanks.
Okay, those were the ones. Yeah. Who have we had here? Wait. Oh, we've had Jonah Ray here. That's you're the Mel Brooks of this show.
I didn't say Hitler once. Nice.
No. Look, in all seriousness, I tease you.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that things are going well for you.
Thank you.
You work very hard. You're a funny dude. People can get you in a variety of places. The next thing they will see you in is what? What's the next thing? Is the Meltdown coming back? Is that next?
The Hidden America with Jonah Ray will be the next thing. Yeah.
That's the CISO series.
Yes.
Then Meltdown, then Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good run, bro.
Nice. A lot of stuff. Work is good to have.
It is good to have. Everybody, please, if you're in the Triangle, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, if you're down there, make the trip this Saturday, February 27th, Sharpling and Worcester live at Motor Co. in Durham, North Carolina. It's going to be a lot of fun. There are still tickets left. I do know it is selling really fast, and it's probably going to sell out. So do not miss out on that. You can get tickets over at StereoLaughs.com/tour. Pat Byrne is this Saturday night in Jersey City. You can see him do his live Prove It All Night, his WFMU show. Mods versus Rockers is the theme. 9 p.m. over at the WFMU Performance Space on Montgomery. Aparna Nanchera, Dan Chamberlain, and My Teenage Stride will all be there, a part of the show. It's going to be great. Dudio, anything?
I'm doing Brett Davis's show, The Lethal Lottery, on Friday.
Dudio will be at Brett Davis's live show, The Lethal Lottery. Check that out. Brett's all over the internet. You can find him and check Dudio's at Sonic Dork. He'll post about it there. Mike is at Masses on Sunday. Go check Mike out there. And I have something else to say, and I am forgetting it. Well, you'll just have to check me out on Twitter, and I'll put it up if I remember what it was. Oh, yeah, and that's right. The Simpsons, no joke, March 13th, Sharpling and Worcester on The Simpsons. You can check that out. And we will be back next week. Believe I'll have my friend Gail Bennington should be here. We'll see, hopefully. And now I'm going to play a song by my friend Kurt Vile. Oh, my. It's a song called Red Apples for Tom Sharpling. Good night. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Jonah.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey man, how you been? Where you going? What you doing? Hey!
I remembered the thing I was trying to remember. It is now, Tuesday is now Wednesday. And it is now Wednesday is Terry T's birthday. So happy birthday, Terry T. You're the greatest. And I love you so much. And here's Kurt Vile. Bye.
Girl, come on.